Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Big day planned. Well, let's see. What is it, you ask? Robert Wall's going to come in. Actually, he's going to call in. Old Durham, Batman, movies like that. Arliss. Also, Hollywood icon Peter Guber's going to be in studio. I'm going to pitch him some of my movie ideas. Tango and Cash, Batman, Rain Man, Caddyshack.
Those have all been made.
Well, these... Well, they're not... They got the same name. Like, I got a movie called Rain Man. It's got the same name, but it's totally different.
It's about a superhero?
I don't want to... You know, I'm scared if I give it away, someone will steal it. Oh. But I'm just saying, there's no reason why we can't use these same names again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Color Purple, Inner Space. Remember that one? Who's that girl he did? Young Blood? Hockey movie.
Yes. Swayze. Low.
Vision Quest. DZ Cap. Flashdance. Underwater Symphony. All right. An American Werewolf in London. Midnight Express. Batman Returns. Bonfire of the Vanities. Clan of the K-Bear. Wow, this guy's done a ton of movies. Anyway, I got my movies queued up. I'll pitch it to him. Sarah Silverman. World's funniest female is going to be in here, and dear friend John Stewart. So nice to see good things happening for old friends. We have the same agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, who's been in here for the last few days. He's over the moon about John. John, good guy, and we'll talk to him about hosting the Oscars on Sunday. All right, so a couple things. First off, we're going to be in Las Vegas, and we're going to be there on the 9th, and we're going to be at the Ghost Bar at the Palms, and we're doing our show from 3 to 7 p.m., so it's right in the middle of the day. You can get your nice afternoon drunk on. Nothing better than that afternoon drunk. Something about the sun being up and having a buzz is nice.
It tastes different.
Yes, and it feels different. Mm-hmm. It's a different buzz in the afternoon. And I would also argue it's a different buzz when it's hot out and the sun's shining, you're sort of on the beach, mm-hmm, and you're putting down some beers rather than the, you know, hot cider winter football game kind of bundle up. Either way, it's a nice buzz. Maybe it's just the idea that if you have a buzz going in the afternoon, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, yeah, I really enjoy that nice afternoon buzz. And then you think, well, why do you enjoy that buzz better in the evening buzz? It has to be the environment. You know what I mean? You're either tailgating at the ball game.
That's right.
Or you're at the beach, or you're on vacation. There's something going on. You know, either way, there's no work to be found.
It's magic. Well, you feel like you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. You've been drinking long enough now that when you're doing it under the cloak of night, you feel right. Like, oh, this is fine. But when you're doing it during the day, you know,
yeah,
I'm doing something naughty here. Yeah. The youthful mistake you make is that when you drink during the day at tailgate parties and so on and so forth, you know, as I did, or ball games, is that then you feel like, I got to stay awake now. This can't deprive me of my nightlife. So now I got to plow ahead and everything. Now, as an adult, I realize you tie one on during the day, you just lay down at an earlier hour. It's nice.
Yeah, there's a, we're going to keep the party ball rolling.
Right, mission accomplished. I can go to bed at 9 p.m. now.
Now that's late. We're going to Vegas on the 9th, and we're going to play a live Ass Kiss Rodeo round, and we're going to do it with you in person. So basically what we're looking for over the next week or so is the best of the best in Ass Kiss Rodeo. We'll play live. We'll give you guys some great gifts and all that. So if you're from Vegas or you're going to be in Vegas when we're there on the 9th of March, you should call in. We'll start working the prelims, start figuring out who the best of the best is. Seth?
Yeah.
You're not interested in Ass Kiss Rodeo, but you have a hobo power story for us?
Ooh. I believe I have one of the best hobo power stories for you, Adam.
All right. Again, hobo power is a unit of stink measurement. It did not exist before I came up with it some years back. I think I came up with it on Loveline, the TV show, many years ago and then forgot about it, but I've dusted it off for this show. You know, they have kilowatts and they have horsepower and they have BTUs. They have units of measurement. They have ohms.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Ohm. Sounds like a Buddhist monk.
Ohms.
Ohms. They have everything. They have ways to measure everything except for stink. But I came up with hobo power. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number to it. Remember, 100 is hypothetical. No man has ever smelled that and lived. And 50, just so you can calibrate your hobo power meters, is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white hot hibachi and the plume of smoke that comes off of it. Go ahead, Seth.
All right. Well, one of my relatives, can't say who, it's an ongoing investigation, but one of my relatives works for a particular city here in Arizona, and I got to go do a crime scene with them. Mm-hmm. And it was towards the end of July, and we found, well, we didn't find, but we came across a 6x8 shed filled with between 10 to 15 dead bodies. And I say 10 to 15 because some of them had liquefied.
Mm-hmm. And oh, no.
Really, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
Now, were these illegals or something?
No, actually, for a twist of irony, they most of them were believed to be hobos, actually.
Wow.
They just,
I was wondering what happened to our hobos.
Yeah,
all in Arizona.
Just abduct the hobos and kill them or do whatever he wanted to them and stuff them in a shed.
Wow.
Liquefied.
Yeah. And it was July. And you did you go into the shed?
It was about 5 feet from it. We there's actually leading from the porch to the shed, there were small, like, trails of vomit leading up to it because it was
people running and vomiting.
Yeah, pretty much. Because inside the shed, they said it was on average. It had been there for about 2 months at least.
Mm-hmm. So somebody was killing hobos.
Yeah, which, you know, it happens.
That's why this week on Hack, in order to catch a hobo killer, Hack is going to have to become a rapist. So that's a joke. He just becomes a rapist no matter what. If he's going to try to catch a counterfeiter, he's got to think like a rapist. It always ends with rape.
Oh, I'm interested to hear your assessment of this one, because this, to me, is... This may be the best of the best so far.
First, we need a few more. It's Arizona. It's July.
Baked vomit.
Piles of hobos. But... He did not enter the shack. He
says
he says 5 feet away, but that could be more like 50 feet away.
No,
well, here's the key detail to me, is when the door opened, were you there when the door first came open? Because that first, you know...
Yes, the first...
Plume of stink hitting you in the face. If you were there for that, I think that has to be counted in.
I wasn't right in front of it when it was open, but I was probably 15 feet away. I actually had to clean my shoes off. I didn't clean, I just threw them away.
What? Did they catch the guy who was killing hobos?
Yeah, they've since found him.
Okay. All right.
So.
Well, July's very hot. He was just on a ride-along, though. It's not like he was the lead detective who had to actually go in there and do what happens in so many movies where the body swings down from the rafters and faces him. In movies, lots of guys walking through dark hallways and the bodies that have been tucked up there. And by the way, you know how many calories it would take if I died and you decided on your own? It'd be great to take Corolla's corpse and go ahead and stuff him up in the rafters up there.
Yeah, and then scrawl something on the wall in your blood for whoever finds you.
Just imagine, I'm trying to get some of my drunk buddies out of the back of a Toyota when they've passed out and it's taken all goddamn night. Could you imagine what you alone, just working alone, would take to take a 200-pound guy and get him stuffed up in the rafters? Might even be impossible. But then to time it so I swung down, didn't fall down, just swung down. Right when the beautiful detective was walking by with the flashlight?
as we've discussed, or the rookie detective.
Rookie, too.
Welcome to the force.
All right. He's not the lead man on the case. He's he went on a ride along. He got near the shed, but he did not go in. He did not go in. It was July. There was a lot of liquefied hobos.
And don't forget the vomit, too. This is also a
trail of vomit
element
out there in literally hobos, you know, which is kind of interesting. 68.5.
Wow. I'm glad. I was hoping for high 60s, low 70s.
Yeah. It's just the fact that he didn't go in.
You gave someone a 70 or something the other day.
They were in the bathroom. They were physically in the space inside the house where the person had melted onto the toilet or was decomposing
onto the toilet. How close do you have to get to liquid hobo?
Well, I got to tell you, there is a huge difference between being actually in it or on it. I mean, it's like you know, being in a porta potty and looking into the toilet is bad, but falling into that mess, it's off. It goes off the chart at that point. Him getting, you know, him being near the shed or close to the front of the shed as opposed to being in the shed. I'm sorry, he's outdoors.
But a potpourri of vomit, though. I don't know if that you're giving that. It's
I tacked on a couple of points there, but he's essentially still outdoors. He's not in the same space as the bodies. How could you, you know, how could you ever crack the 70s and not actually be in under the same roof as the decomposing shed. Hobos? The shed. Sorry, Seth. So that's 68.5. Pretty solid. Nothing to hang your head about. Personally, I don't think I've cracked 50. You know? I mean, God willing, I keep my fingers crossed, you know? Seth?
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with this.
Okay, all right.
We couldn't actually get inside the shed, though.
Listen, I appreciate the effort and everything, but that's not what it's about.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Okay.
I like that he... Having to get in there.
Yeah, having actual hobos involved, that's got to add,
I
agree with Adam's ruling. I'm just saying that's to be proud of, the fact that it was legitimate hobos involved.
Yeah, it was literal hobo power. Rachel, you like it? You like to be up higher?
Do I like to be up higher?
Would you like the number to be up higher? You were complaining.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if, I don't know, I think hobos, liquid... I mean,
but
how
never,
close can
never
you
entered
get?
The dwelling. Never
I mean,
entered
I,
the dwelling.
Yeah, I get the point.
And was outdoors. You know, it's not like, well, we were both in the same house and they were in the next room.
But they were actual hobos.
He was outside. I'm sorry, I don't think the hobos add anything.
I know,
to
it. It's neither here nor there. It's important. It's a fascinating storyline, but it can't be part of the stink.
Yes.
True or no?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's interesting and ironic and nice, but it doesn't help your score. Javier, it's very pure. It's all about the smell. Javier, you say the sun adds to you getting drunk?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the type of environment and climate that you're in. I mean, if it's kind of hot, you know, it makes for, like, everything becomes more, like, acute. And
that's
more visible, right? But when you're stressed out, you know, and you know that you have to go to work within a few hours, and you drink, it gets irritating, and then you get a little bit aggressive. Don't you think so?
You're scaring me, Javier.
Physiologically, you do get, when you drink in the sun, you are more apt to get drunk more quickly.
You do.
That is true.
Is it just because pores are open, molecules are moving faster?
There you go. Exactly. Hey, well, back in your days when you worked in construction, did you drink beer with the buddies right there, with your buddies?
Yeah, I did, and that was the one thing I learned, is you could catch a crazy buzz off of two or three beers after work. Just,
yeah, exactly.
You'd been working out in the hot sun all day and all that. That's why there's not a Mexican guy I've ever worked with that didn't have at least 70 DUIs. Because
right.
their whole thing was like, yeah, it's after work. Someone's just going to get a 12-pack of Schaefer, and we're going to put down a couple of cold ones. No harm, no foul. And where they're from, the culture they're from, that ain't no big thing. I mean, if a guy can't put down a couple of cold ones after a day of roofing, what does this world come to? Then they're driving home in Los Angeles. They drank 3.5 beers. They're .09. Pow. Mm-hmm. They get popped. Has that ever happened to you, Javier?
No, it's never happened to me, but the thing is that, you know, people have a high tolerance, and they will go ahead and just, you know, drink 10 or 12 after work, like you said. But when you were there working in construction, right, did you ever go ahead and hear ranchero music when you were drinking? Yes or no?
Did I hear it when I was drunk?
Yeah.
Yes. You can't not hear ranchero music if you work out here in Southern California.
That's right.
Yeah. If you work construction in Southern California, you close your eyes, you hear ranchero music.
That's
every
right.
Every morning, every afternoon, every night. Yeah. I'll tell you, when I rebuilt my house, this is how every single morning would start. Me coming down in my bathrobe after going to bed at 2:30, be about 7:45. There'd be Oswaldo. Hand me a beer in the garage. Like I said, Oswaldo had a diabolical plan. He would crack himself a beer, and I'd go, "What are you drinking at 9 in the morning?" And he'd hand me one. Thanks, bro. I could use one. And then he'd be down in the garage yelling in Spanish at a bunch of other guys. And this how every morning would begin. There's nothing more grating, by the way. Nothing. But at least this one has the accordion in it, because you rarely hear the accordion in this music. It's rarely featured. Wait a minute, here it is. Oh, there it is. Oh my God, please. Is there more disturbing music, Javier?
It's a horrible beat, you know, it's a horrible beat.
Yes.
But
I would argue this is why Mexico has no space program. This is the reason. If they pumped in some Wagner, you guys would be leading the race to space. But instead, there's this. And all you want to do is crack another bud and sling a little stucco.
That's right, buddy.
All right, buddy. You going off to your construction job?
Every now and then, next hour. But I wanted to ask you, what kind of beer do you like drinking?
Well, I drink whatever Ozzy bought. But I like the Sierra Nevada.
Yes.
Sam Adams is nice.
On draft at the Damashek home.
Yes.
That's right. I got a kegerator.
In the light department, I'll go with just a basic Miller Lite. But I do like the bottles. I got angry. My buddy, the Wheeze, threw a party at my house last weekend, as people have been known to do. And he bought a whole ton of beer. This is an upscale party, bought a whole ton of beer, all in aluminum cans. Mm. There's nothing worse than that. Mm. I mean, it's one thing if you're, you know, on the road and you get that 12-pack or something, but at a party at home on a weekend, give me a glass bottle. Thanks, Javier. What do you do?
I work construction. Yeah, I'm leaving to Vegas in the next few days. Is that true?
Yeah, we're going to be in Vegas on the 9th of March.
Yeah, are you going to party up there or what?
Yes, we will do that. We're also playing a little Ask Kiss Rodeo if people are interested. We're looking for the best of the best, however. Man, now everyone's calling in with their hobo stories. Let's see. Hobo power. Someone has an interesting suggestion. Darren?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm calling you out on this. Remember when you first reintroduced the hobo power?
Mm-hmm.
It was mandatory at 50 for people to be blowing chunks.
Oh, really? I called that,
yes.
Huh?
Yes, you did.
It's funny because I see Darren's call. It says, Darren, Los Angeles, 50 hobo power, mandatory vomiting. And I think, well, there's a sharp thinker. This kid's on the ball. I'm going to talk to him. That's a good idea. Yeah, we should be doing it. I should have thought of that. And I tend to agree more with my thoughts that I forgot about. It's a better way to do it. All right, so that's what I called out. You're right. You need to vomit. Yes, we need to have some more criteria here. You need to be vomiting. If you say you got to 80 but didn't blow chunks, well, something's
up. Well, but this guy must have had a pretty good constitution to be stepping through, wading through other vomit.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows whose vomit that was?
It's a good point. I'd like it if you vomit. It's a tougher...
Whose vomit?
All right, Darren. Listen, you're right. It's a better case. It's a better sell for your case if you vomited. You have to give up a little face. It might be a little embarrassing. You have to put your male pride aside. But vomiting is going to help your case. Thank you.
It's just like water boiling at 212. You know, how hot is it? Is it boiling?
Right. You mean what's your altitude?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be in Denver and it may be boiling at 177.
It's a fair point he makes.
Thank you. Dino?
Yes, sir.
Quick hobo power store?
Yeah. A few years ago, used to work for the Sears down on Olympic and Soto in East Los Angeles.
Beautiful country, beautiful people.
Yeah. So we had the job to clean up the area, and right next to Sears was the a bridge right next to L.A. River bit on Olympic. So there was about 20, 15 hobos camped out there. And part of our cleaning up crew was to get them out of there. So what we had to do, we had to clean up and use huge hoses, water hoses, and then we ended up finding buckets, 5-gallon buckets of.
All right, and you had to dispose of those buckets.
Yes, they were Sears buckets, and they wanted them back.
Wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
And talk about puke. Everybody was.
Yeah. You guys, by the way, you're lucky Sears doesn't make toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they need that back.
I don't care.
Get it back on the roll and drag it in. I don't care what shape it's in.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty wild.
That's bad times. You're outdoors. You knew what you were getting.
Buckets
of fecal matter.
This was in July, too. So.
All right. I'm feeling generous. I'm going to go low 60s. Very low
60s. Hey, that's good enough.
Hobo feces is worse than liquid hobo, actual liquefied hobo.
He had to handle it. You know, he had to handle the buckets.
Proximity.
That's the thing. Again, Rachel, proximity. Proximity. If he told me, the other guy said he had to go in and move those bodies, these decomposing, liquefying hobo bodies in this hot shed in July in Arizona, well, now you're going up. I mean, you may be close to 100
at this
point.
Well, did he vomit, though?
But him, but still, it's a good point. But not having to enter, Rachel. Dino?
Yeah.
Did you vomit?
Oh, yeah, of course. At least
you did?
Five times.
Oh, you did? And you had to handle the buckets of fecal matter.
We had to carry them.
Okay. You see, that's the point. Proximity. Handling. I would much rather stand next to something that was a 9 on the Ranko meter rather than handle something that was a 4. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Call in. We're looking for your stories, or I should say your ability to play Ask Kiss Rodeo.
It's like the Olympics. Best
yes.
of the best.
Best of the best. Going to meet us in Vegas and play live with us in Las Vegas.
The Ass Olympics.
Yes, Olympics. Roy is calling in from Vegas. Roy Horn. He's back on his feet. He's on the mend. Sarah Silverman. John Stewart, everybody. Big show plan. All that after this.
Who can ride that brown nosed beast? Saddle up and take your seat. Grab an eyebrow and hold on tight. You gotta kiss Adam's ass just right. It's a little game that we play. You gotta be careful what you say. You can't have opinions of your own on Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Thank you. We're gonna play that in a second. First, Robert Wallace on the phone. Robert?
How are you, Adam?
Good to talk to you, as usual.
Thank you.
I'm reading here that, of course, you know, Robert from Arliss and Bull Durham and Batman and Good Morning Vietnam and Cobb, as I recall. Yeah, I like that movie.
Thank you.
Also, has himself Grammys, or I should say Emmys, from 1991 and 92 when he co-wrote the Academy Awards for Billy Crystal. Didn't know that.
Hmm.
Just keeps getting better. Robert?
Yes, Adam.
What do we, how does that go? I want to give you some plugs and talk about some other projects, but let's talk Academy Awards for a moment. How does that work? It's 1991. You're with Billy Crystal. He gets the phone call that says, I'm going to be hosting the Academy Awards. Does he call you?
Well, we had written the, I had worked with him on the Grammys the 3 years prior to that. So we had already formed the team to work on this thing, and he asked me to work with him. And the first year was just me and him. And then Bruce Valanche joined us the next year along with, me and him and his manager, David Steinberg, who's also a funny guy. But it was the first year, it was the two of us, and then Bruce joined the third year, so it was just like three of us for most of the years. And then I went off to do the Arliss show, and then Billy, when he came back, then he had more writers and everything, but I didn't do it then. But it was fun. It was great. You know why? Because you're of the moment. You know your work is going to be seen. Mm-hmm. So many times you do a lot of projects, and they're gone in the week, and nobody sees them. But when you write the Academy Awards, you know everybody's going to see your work.
Right. So, how far in advance do you guys start working on this stuff? And then I imagine some of it has to be left open because there are things that could happen 2 days before the Academy Awards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Although most of it's pretty, you know, you're pretty scripted. You know what's going to happen. In fact, you have your spontaneous ad-libs ready to go also.
Right.
Now, that said, we would generally start about the time the nominees were announced. That's when we generally start. That said, there's always the crazy things that happen. Like, I was there during the years when Jack Palance, you know, went nuts at the Oscars. And Billy's a comic, so Billy was great. And then we'd be backstage coming up with some other stuff. But, you know,
right.
Billy's a pretty great comic.
Jack Palance did some push-ups and told Billy that he has craps bigger than him or something like that? Was that the...
Something like that. Whatever. He was doing push-ups, and then we started doing some jokes about him bungee jumping off of the Hollywood sign. He just went, you know, he just, you know, talents went nuts in the Oscars, and it was great. It was great fodder.
You were in Flashdance?
Oh, I have one line in Flashdance. Wow. I have one line in the movie.
Peter Goober's coming in later on this morning.
Oh, good. Give him a big hello for me.
I'm sure he'll not remember who you were.
Peter remembers everybody.
No, I mean, he knows who Robert Wall is. He just doesn't know who Robert Wall from Flashdance is.
That's probably true.
He just had the one line, but that took place in the great city of Pittsburgh. All right, so you're going to be at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach tonight doing a show?
Yeah, what I'm doing is HBO's got this. I did a special for HBO last year called Assume the Position with Mr. Wall, which will be airing April 1st on HBO. And I went and I actually taught a class, or I lectured a class at NYU, and I gave my whole take on how history really is pop culture with real these were real NYU students. And I'm doing it next week at the comedy, the Aspen Comedy Festival. So we're workshopping it tonight at the Comedy and Magic Club at 8:30, and it's free admission with a two drink minimum, and the show only lasts about 35 minutes, but it's a lot of fun, and it's my take on history and historical perspectives, and it's a lot of fun, and people really like it.
Speaking of a lot of fun, you know, I was just watching Arliss the other night. All the, you know, just the beginning, watching the beginning credits on Arliss, where you're down on the field talking to this famous ball player, and then you're at this famous, you know, Indy 500, and then you're at the Olympics, and then you're on the floor, the forum, talking to Shaq. I mean, what a gas that must have been for a sports fan like yourself just to do a show where you get to schmooze with every big celebrity, sports celebrity of the day.
Oh, it was great fun. Well, it was great fun because of the storytelling, first and foremost. I mean, it was nice to meet the athletes, and some of them have remained friends. But the athletes aren't, you know, I like playing sports. I respect the athletes, you know, and it is fun to schmooze with them. But, you know, a lot of them, they're still athletes. I mean, they're jocks, you know. It's like, but it was great. The thing about them is you realize when I turn it on now is how short their career expectancy is. I mean, from the time we started the show, which is like 13 years ago, to now, the only athlete who is still in uniform, I think, is Barry Bonds.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the only one.
Wow.
Well, and he didn't actually, and he hasn't existed by purely natural means either. So.
Well, he didn't play much at all last year, really. So, but he's the only one. That's supposed to show you how short the careers are.
You did Arliss for 8 years, is that
seven
right?
Seven years.
So now you're doing this. You're doing the bit now, but really you're set for life from Arliss. Yes.
Oh, hardly. It's HBO cable. This is not network cable.
Yeah, but all the other gigs. I mean, you've been working solid for 20-something years.
Oh, I've worked. Yeah, no. But it's not like the Arliss is not, you know, HBO cable money is not network TV cable. It's network money. Totally different ballgame.
Do they, John Stewart's coming on a little bit later this morning. Do people do a little trading? Does anyone ever talk to you? You know what I mean? Like, if they said to me, next year, you're going to be hosting the Academy Awards, I'd say, well, I want to talk to Jon Stewart and his people and find out how it worked, what didn't work. I mean, Billy Crystal was one of the more successful hosts of the Oscars over the years. Has anyone ever talked to you or talked to him or talked to your team about how to do this?
I think they talked to Billy. They never talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never talked to, no, Billy. I'm sure they told Billy. I mean, you want to stay within your comfort zone. Do what you do well, you know.
Nap and masturbate?
Right. Yeah,
that'd be a great Oscars.
That's good. I could do that.
Oh, the timpani's playing. The curtain opens. There's Carolla on a cot.
Yeah, really. Hand underneath the, sliding under the pants.
Thank you. I got a nap. Enjoy the rest of the show, people. I played in the celebrity softball game, I think, last year with Robert, and he swings a big stick up there.
Hit a home run, didn't you?
I had two of them. I said, this is the last time I'm going to play. And I had two home runs, and so I had to retire twice. However, when we have more time, we have to tell the story one time about how you almost got to a fight during the celebrity baseball game against Jack Gilardi that time.
Best story ever.
I mean, you guys, you almost gave the blows. It was close.
Well, I was, and then banned from the game for many years.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know the sad thing about me getting banned from that celebrity, the Dodger celebrity baseball game, is that my two, not one, but two. It's one thing when you get banned. You know, Robert Welk not playing the game anymore. All right, fine. But I had a partner named Jimmy Kimmel and another partner named Dr. Drew who were invited to go to each and every game each and every year. So when I was banned, I would have to return the following Monday and see my two partners, and they would explain to me all about the game and how exciting it was. So it really twisted the knife that I couldn't play. Plus, I'm from Los Angeles. So just the idea of being able to go to Dodger Stadium, you know, that was my stadium when I was a 9-year-old boy playing Little League. It was all about the Dodgers. So it was very sad.
Well, Robert, you were there. You were an eyewitness to this.
I was very close to it.
He was benched in favor, Carolla says, in favor of Esai Morales.
Okay, well, what happened?
Elaine Boozler, how dare you? She had a cannon for right arm.
Is they have too many players.
Right.
They have many players. And these guys actually play to really win this game, you know, the guys who are booking it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would have my one at-bat or maybe, you know, whatever. And I would usually go out of the game. I'd play first base and then go out of the game because there's too many people. But, they, you know, if we were behind, the coach wanted to put the guys in he knew and everything. And Adams on the bench. And who was it? Was it Esai Morales?
No, it was one of the ball. Stephen Baldwin.
Was it Jonathan Silverman?
Jonathan Silverman was the darling. Our coach decided that not only was Jonathan Silverman the finest actor that Hollywood has ever produced, but quite possibly the finest baseball player that the Los Angeles area has ever produced.
Jonathan can play. Got to give him his props.
I know. I can play, too.
But yes, you can. Wait. Jonathan, I think, I think he went into the dugout. He went to the locker room, and they were looking for him. They came. So Adam grabs a bat and says, I haven't played yet. So, sure, go on up there. And he just starts to go up there, and Jack Delaney goes, what the hell are you doing up there? And he goes, well, I haven't played yet. And the two of them start jawing. and the name calling starts. And I mean, they're toe-to-toe. And it's like, this is going to happen. I'm watching this, and I'm watching this with great anticipation because, I haven't seen a good fight in a while, you know.
It really captured the spirit of the game.
Robert, tell quickly who Jack Gilardi is, though.
Oh, Jack is an ICM agent, and he was always one of the coaches of one of these Hollywood Stars games. He's been a coach, I think, since the inception, probably 20, 30 years.
Hollywood power broker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Evidently, he had not been told to F himself in over 50 years. Because you can tell the guys, they're the guys, like the guys who drive the hacks, who get told to F themselves on a daily basis, it's in one ear and out the other. It rolls right off him. When I told him to F himself, he gave me a look like, whoa. It's like you marched into Saddam Hussein's palace circa 1981 and told him to F off. That's really how he reacted. Like, he could not believe something. I thought he was a coach from Albuquerque. I thought he was just a Dodger, you know, minor league coach. That's why I was telling him to F off. I didn't know he ran show business. All right, Robert, we're digressing. I want to give you another plug because we're running late for break. Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach tonight.
8:30,
everybody. Two drinks.
Yeah,
enjoy.
It's just a lot of fun, and it's very informal. And thank you a lot, Adam.
Thanks, Robert. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Bye.
Take care. All right. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. Playing some Ass Kiss Rodeo when we come back. Again, you can join us for the Tournament of Tournaments, the Ass Kiss Rodeo Tournament in Vegas on the 9th. Call in, we'll play along, and then we'll pick the best of the best.
This is Peter Griffin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, we're going to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo. We're going to do it live out of Vegas on the 9th when we're there at the Palms over at the Ghost Bar. 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 p.m. Let's see. Let's start with Robert over here. Robert?
Hello, Adam.
You're from Vegas?
Yes.
Perfect. So you want to come see us in person, play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
I would like to kiss your ass in person.
Okay. That's good. We're off to a good start. I want to see how you do, though. I mean, here's the point. We don't want any schlubs in there. This ain't the Special Olympics of Ass Kiss Rodeo. Although, Brusca, write that down. Because we should have a Special Olympics of Ass Kiss Rodeo. Why not? Why not let the kids play? All right, Robert?
Yes.
Let's get started.
All right. It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Cheney. I think he's doing a great job.
He's a wonderful man. I agree.
No, I'm sorry. Too short,
that
too curt.
Quick?
Well, that quick, that's my point. You came up, you're just too short with it. You're too abrupt. You know what? I'll tell you what. We'll do a takey. I tapped no takeys when we started the tournament, but I'm going against my own word. I'm going to give you a takeover on that
mulligan.
One. I'll give you a mulligan on that one. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Woo-hoo! Pink Floyd, greatest band of all time.
Greatest band in the world. You should play for them, actually.
Interesting. I may just bust out my hollowed out fish and do that after all. Yeah. On the other hand, I like Celine Dion.
Wonderful singer, beautiful woman. She'd be lucky to have you at all of her performances.
I think bottled water is too much.
Way too expensive. You'd think something that comes from nature would just flow straight to your house.
All right. On the other hand, I'm worth it. My health is worth it.
Absolutely. If there was no Adam Carolla, I mean, is it any coincidence that the first man on Earth was named Adam and you? I don't think so.
Wow. All right. Listen, Robert, I'll tell you what, because we have to move along here. It's the delivery is bumpy, but your heart is definitely in the right place, and you're going in some interesting places about the bottled water flowing straight to the house and the biblical reference. I like where you're coming from. Yeah.
Thank you.
You have all the makings of a champion Ask Kiss rodeo player. I think all you need is all you need is a little flair. Yeah, it'll smooth out the delivery just a little bit.
Technically sound, though.
Yeah. So if this was American Idol and I was Simon, I would be saying you have the pipes for the competition. Now you need to loosen up and have fun with it.
All right.
Because the day you're not having fun playing Ask Kiss rodeo, that's when you hang up your Ask Kiss and Spurs.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Robert. You're going to be in Vegas?
Yeah, I live here.
All right. We'll see you there on the 9th.
An early contender.
Yeah, we have one more. Jace?
Yes, Adam.
You want to play Ask Kiss Rodeo?
My lips are ready.
Okay, let's try another round.
It's Ask Kiss Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
Best late night talk show host, Conan O'Brien. How say you, Jace?
I say his hair, it's red. He's a great, great talk show host. But your hair, even better.
Mm-hmm. Although I got to say, I am partial to Kimmel. Much funnier than Conan.
Kimmel, he's funny. He's funny. He's a little big.
That's bad on several levels.
Yeah,
Dear friend of
Corolla. Yeah, the begrudging funny, too. He's funny. Funny.
He's funny.
Sorry, Jace.
No problem.
All right. Well, look, I got to say, your defeatist attitude is not going to be welcome over at the Ghost Bar at 3 o'clock to 7 p.m. on March 9th. We'd like you to attend anyway, but I'm not sure if you're cut out of the right cloth to play this all-star Ask Kiss Rodeo.
I'm just going to sit in the corner with my dunce hat on.
Please do. Face the corner. Not enough that you sit in the corner. You have to stare at the corner.
Something to be ashamed of, you know. I mean, the best of the best, you know.
Yeah.
You're not, you know.
Speaking of the best, Shaq, you were out of the room, but I came up with a special Olympics Ask Kiss Rodeo where we actually bring in kids, you know, with special needs. Maybe learning disorders. Maybe it's a physical problem. Let them play.
Maybe they have a hair lip and it's difficult for them to kiss.
Yeah.
Was that in poor taste?
No. Okay. It was in fine taste.
Okay. Well, the trail was blazed by the deaf rat guy playing a couple days ago.
He gave
it his best shot. But ultimately, it wasn't his infirmity that kept him down. It was his inability to accept your notion of a dry campus.
Yes.
He refused.
He was going along with me, and we're going just fine until I suggested that USC become a dry campus, and then he wanted to fight.
Yeah.
He was pretty drunk at
the
time.
Just the same, he did a nice job overall.
Right. There's no reason why the handy capable can't play Ask Kiss Rodeo. I agree with Shaq. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. News and sports and a little preview from Big Tad.
Yo, Big Tad here. Coming up on the Adam Carolla Show, Oscar host John Stewart, Roy from Siegfried and Roy calling from Vegas.
He was a louse.
Comedian Sarah Silverman, Hollywood super producer Peter Guber.
You can't handle the truth.
All coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Legendary Hollywood producer Peter Guber is, is in studio, or going to be in studio, and I'm going to pitch him some of my movies, and I got some doozies here.
Don't get nervous. This is your big chance.
Yeah. Yeah, and people are going to think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm dead serious about these movies. I think some of them can be made, possibly tomorrow. Also, Roy calling in from Siegfried and Roy. He's on the men. He's in Vegas. We're going to see him on the 9th. He's going to phone in. John Stewart's going to be on the show. Sarah Silverman. No funnier.
Some show.
And no sweeter person than Sarah Silverman. I mean, I know her well. And, you know, not just from watching her perform. Of course, she kicks around with Jimmy Kimmel. Spent a lot of time with her. Sweet as the day is long. And I kept waiting for her to go nuts. You know, when I found out her and Jimmy were dating, I was like, ooh. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's funny as hell. She's a comedian.
It's
she's
shocking,
a female.
Almost.
She's
gonna, you expect yes. for the persona, the stage, but I was always I was struck by for the first five times. I thought, what? So nice. It's almost unfathomable.
Yes, and I just kept waiting for the rim to shear off the lugs and for Jimmy to go skidding into a drainage ditch. But no, it's been a few years now. Totally sane and totally sweet. All right, we'll bring her in later on in the show. But first, it's time for our own beautiful Rachel Perry in the news.
Thank you. Deal or no deal?
Deal.
You're right, deal. Bush went to India and made a deal with the prime minister to share nuclear know-how. And the prime minister was very grateful and thanked Bush repeatedly.
Yeah, we had to keep the tour going of the Middle East. And this gentleman is called a wheel. It was invented several thousand years ago. And stand back, this is called fire. Ah, you have to go explain everything to him. We'll explain. Yeah. We'll show him. We'll give him all our latest inventions. This one's called. These are called toaster pastries. You put them in something called a toaster. Well, I'll explain later. Yeah.
There's actually, we actually obtained the audio.
Oh, really?
Of the thanking.
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, that's their, it's, I think it's a cultural thing. It sounds not nice, but it is actually.
See You in Hell is the name of one of my movies. I'm going to pitch to Goober, by the way.
Coincidental.
Yeah. Hmm.
There was a videotape release. Everybody's talking about this. Of a video conference that happened the day before and the day of that Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans with President Bush and former FEMA director Michael Brown talking. And there's a guy from like the National Hurricane Center saying that it's not going to be good. This is going to be terrible. Michael Brown is saying it's going to be terrible. They're saying that the roof of the Superdome, they're not sure that it can hold up. And then, you know, this is basically what Bush had to say.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
He was talking about himself when he said that.
These
was
filthy lies. Yeah. I mean, listen, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, you know, end of the world, the apocalypse had arrived because Bill Clinton didn't admit what was going on underneath his desk with the intern. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, we have to restore honor to the White House, to the U.S. of A. This is the institutionalized lying about things that actually matter to the country.
Yeah.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Oh, this makes me crazy.
I'm more
get rid of this imbecile already.
And replace him with which imbecile?
Bring back Clinton.
I'm just sad that everything has to be videotaped and that everything now. There's nothing you can say anymore that somebody cannot produce some evidence that says contrary that you did, you know, many years or many days before this. And I'm just thinking, soon it will come to the point where we'll just know what you're thinking. Someone will produce a videotape of your brain log from 3 days earlier. Idea that there's no more lying anymore. You know what I mean? You can't even do that thing where...
No lie, MRI.
Remember you'd like some... Oh, yeah. Remember when you'd like some chick or some guy and you'd call up and then you get cold feet and hang up at the last minute? Now they see who called.
There's and a, now you're not just... You don't... It's not just like a crush. Now you're crazy stalker.
Yeah, you're crazy stalker.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you can get... I remember I liked the chick who evidently was the first woman in North America to ever get this caller ID. This is like 1993. And we were going out and then we broke things off and I was playing it cool, you know? Eh, baby. Oh, and I talked to her like a month later and she's like, so you've been calling? No. No, I have not. Why? What makes you think I've been calling? I haven't even thought about you. Well, I got this thing called caller ID and it says you called 128 times in the last 3 days. And then I gave her this one. I don't know about that. That's when you don't feel like admitting the truth, but you still want to save some face.
This is a shame.
It's
a national shame.
All right. All right. It is. It's sad.
I mean, what are we going to do now? Doesn't change anything.
Look, every
doesn't get nobody in no trailers, no how.
That's right. Let's keep going.
Okay, speaking of videotapes that everybody's got one, Scott Stapp and Kid Rock, of course, we've been talking about how someone's trying to put out a sex tape of them doing nasty stuff with groupies.
Yeah.
Scott Stapp thinks it's sabotage.
Mm.
Sabotage, because his career is going so well.
Yeah.
He thinks somebody is out to get him.
Yeah.
Good thing he has the Lord on his side is all I have to say.
It's nice when you're getting oral from groupies and videotaping it and the Lord can intervene on your behalf.
Did I tell you before that apparently on the tape he says at one point, I am the King of Kings.
Really?
Well, you say that all the time when you're getting...
I scream top of the world, Ma, when I'm getting oral.
Oh, you choose a different...
Yeah, it's
you
a
go
different
one.
Way. Yeah, it's a different one.
Interesting.
Yeah, and... It's funny when guys... The worst thing you can do on one of these sex videotapes, evidently, is talk. You know, it's humiliating enough. It's humiliating enough what's going on, you know, what we're seeing from the videotape. But then when you add in, oh, yeah, baby, you're my number one, you know, whatever the weird... You know, stupid people call each other babe all the time?
Yeah.
When they're getting out, hey, baby, babe. Oh, babe.
Babe is the worst.
Babe, I'm so in love with you right now, babe.
Oh, God.
Babe. It's like, look, I have the dignity not to speak in the bedroom, even when we're not making love.
Oh.
Even when we're just sitting in bed on Sunday morning, my wife says, what do you want to watch on TV? Mm.
That actually makes me bite my own hand hearing you say, babe.
Babe, you're so hot right now. That's the by far, you know, the whole Tommy Lee thing, the most humiliating part of the entire thing is all the stupid baby talk. Baby. Combined age, 74, by the way, these two on the houseboat. Oh, babe, I'm so in love with you right now. Okay, get over it. You've been together
so
for 8 years. She's performing oral on you. I'm so in love with you. And by the way, you don't need any of that crap. You guys have been together for a while. You're in a successful rock band. Just zip it. Just get your oral and be quiet about it.
Really? Can't enjoy it at all?
And
you think
by the way,
speaking increases the pleasure in some way?
No. It's to keep them going.
You don't talk when you're getting...
I'll tell you...
Well, Carolla fancies himself the king of receiving, yes?
Yeah. A lot of guys brag about how good they perform. Nobody receives like the ace man. Nobody. That's right. I'll put a challenge out to any guy out there who thinks he can receive oral as good as the ace man. Step up.
Are you challenging men to give...
I'm saying oral? Guys claim about their prowess in the bedroom. Oh, I love a woman all night, or I'll make your eyes turn around like pinwheels when I do my business on you. I take another direction. I receive better than anybody. Nobody holds still and enjoys it like me.
Oh, I don't know.
Nobody.
Wow.
Well, I'm saying, you think you got somebody, bring them on. Yeah. You want to check out my form?
You know what, Adam? Nobody's better at taking it than you.
Let me thank you. Check my form. I'll just... There it is. Just
no, look at
no
that.
More. You know why guys talk? Guys talk because they don't want the person to stop.
And
they think if they go silent for like 30 or 40 seconds, the person may go, huh? What's going on? You okay? So that's why it's really keep going, but it's replaced with, oh, babe, you're so hot. Oh, you're so baby.
It's the equivalent of on the phone, the uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, because that's all you can think. I mean, you're not actually thinking of what you can say at that moment. You're just thinking, I need to say something so that this doesn't stop. It's more enjoyable to say nothing.
Well, here's what I do. You know, we were talking about how the athletes are constantly thanking the Lord. You know, Barry Bonds hits a dinger and it's right on upstairs. Big steroids laden armed right upstairs to the man. That's what I do when I'm receiving. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You call it?
Yeah, I do that. I point up like McNown, the quarterback, or any of these religious athletes. That's when I thank the Lord. It's not when I score a touchdown do a good show. It's,
It's when you score a home run.
It'd be funny if you did the Billy Sims, the Billy White Shoes Johnson dance.
Yeah, put the guns back in the holster. All right.
And some weird news. There was a couple in Ohio that got married in a McDonald's. People were still continuing to order their food at the McDonald's, though, while the wedding was taking place.
Hold on. Definitely not a Jew. The biggest contender, our number one contender this week for definitely not a Jew.
There's a picture of Lindsay Lohan's nipple floating around the internet. Mm. I just thought you might like to know.
Yeah.
Go check it out, just in case you hadn't heard. And also, finally, of course, the first basically rap song ever that's going to be performed at the Oscars is one of the songs from that movie Hustle and Flow.
Uh-huh.
And it's called It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. And we've actually received, I mean, it's got some swear words in it, and there's a few words that were okay, and then there's a few words that were not, but we've received a preliminary edit of what the song is going to sound like.
All right. Yeah, it seems distracting.
It's catchy. No, that's actually it. We haven't gotten to the part that they've cut anything out. That's the song. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually sample the bar sound.
Is there a storm alert?
All right. I'm going to have a seizure.
All right. I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
The story dominating the sports headlines, trouble in the NFL. Apparently there are problems. We're working out a new collective bargaining agreement among the owners and the players. The players want more loot. The owners don't want to give it to them. The small market teams want to get more. The big market teams don't.
Well, hopefully they'll go on strike so Keanu Reeves can make another crappy movie about it. That's why I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Maybe you should write that down and pitch Mr. Goober when he shows up in here in just a moment. But I hate these collective bargaining when you start hearing about these labor negotiations. I hate it because I have no idea what's going on.
Me neither.
It's hard for me to understand. Even for me, by the way, I got a perfect score on the Wonderlic test yesterday, if you recall correctly. I just go with things like this, what everybody else says, which is just the fat cats trying to get fatter.
Right.
I think that explains it to the lay person like myself. College hoops, big upset in Tallahassee last night. Florida State knocked off Duke, the number one team in the land. You know, the great achievement for the players, for the program at Florida State. And the fans there, the students, sullied it with the worst chant you can possibly come up with. They just slay the beast. The number one team, they chant overrated.
Oh.
This diminishes your achievement, people.
Well, but still not as bad as we're here, we're queer, get used to it, is it?
No, I guess you're right.
Yeah, that would be worse
than
a college
to me,
game.
The overrated, though. Yeah. Like, hey, bragging to your friends. Hey, guess what? Do you know who I slept with? I landed Angelina Jolie. And let me tell you something else, fellas. Not that hot.
Yeah. No, you're taking away from your own accomplishment when you're saying how much the team you just beat sucks.
Yes.
That just means you suck marginally less.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
It's such a dim-witted cheer. Anyway, humiliating loss last night for Kobe and his chums up in Portland. The Trailblazers, one of the worst teams in the league, and they beat the Lakers. What gives? In brighter news, the Suns, 8 straight wins after last night's victory. Golden State a winner, as were the Kings of Schwartz and Eggie. Meantime, L.A.'s favorite team, the Clips, kept on rolling. They won going away here in L.A. against the Hornets. The nice thing is they wore these retro uniforms from their days when the franchise was in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Black and orange.
Nice.
Very nice. I may have said before, if I had my own franchise, if I were given a sports team, black and orange, what would your colors be?
I like those colors as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if I lived in Pittsburgh, of course, I would abide by the ordinance that they'd be black and gold. But otherwise, black and orange. Is there a more handsome combo?
No, it's Batman's colors.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe orange and a very dark midnight blue. You know, midnight
like
blue.
Like the Bears.
You know, it's a beautiful color. It's good on a car. It's good on a jacket. Midnight blue. People either go black or they go light blue or they go teal. That dark midnight blue. No, nothing makes a car look more handsome or sport coat.
It is handsome. Well, and you know, as far as the history of the Clippers go, I wanted to talk about, I went out and visited the Clippers a few days ago to ask them how much they know about their own team's history. I asked them, what is a Clipper? To see if they would know. I'll play that for you later on.
Right.
That's a tease. In the meantime, the NHL is back.
Let me explain how a tease works. You have to care.
That's a good idea!
You have to want to know. I know it's my idea.
I know,
I'm
so
bored
are you?
With it. I'm not going to stick around for the answer.
It was your own idea!
I just think these folks don't know that Clipper's a ship. That's all.
Did I
ruin it for you?
No. I mean, I already asked them, so we'll see if they all know, right. If they're as wise as you are. In the meantime, the NHL is back after its little hiatus from the Winter Games, during the Winter Games. I want to introduce you to somebody. The coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a shameful season for the Penguins. It's very bad. It's nothing to be proud of. But they have a coach there now, Michel Therrien. He's a French-Canadian man, and he has a fascinating inability to say S. To finish words that end in S. Listen to this. They'll give me a little sample.
Special team cost game right now. We could write in the script right now the special team's not doing the job at all.
He doesn't know how to pluralize.
It's a special team. But we got our chance. You know? Their goalie makes some great save. And
see?
Willett took the shot and Sid was there to pick up the rebound. So we got two scoring chances in the same play, and this is what we need.
You know, we have to kill a lot of penalty, and I believe we kill 11, and it was a nice tribute.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Wow. We had to get him with all the black athletes that pluralize when they don't need to, like, I'm going to make a lot of monies. My feet are killing me. Get those people. They got cross-pollinate them with this guy's seed, and we'll have the perfect child. The one who knows when to pluralize and when to use the singular.
Yeah, they're speaking the same language to each other, and they would have no idea what each other is saying to one another. It'd be fantastic.
Get him and LeBron James on the phone. I want to work this out.
Let's do it now.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Hollywood icon. Peter Guber is going to come in. He's produced many movies. Rain Man, Few Good Men, Taxi Driver, Groundhog Day. I mean, the list, it's incredible. If I had it in front of me, Bruska was doing his job, I would give it to you right now. But it is amazing. We'll bring him in. I got some movies I want to pitch to him. We'll talk to him about some projects. All that after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman is coming up on the show. Jon Stewart hosting the Oscars and coming up on this program as well. Peter Guber in studio, co-host of Sunday Morning Shootout, 11 a.m. Sunday mornings on AMC. Peter, one of the biggest players in Hollywood over the last, give it 25, no, make it 28 years. Starting off, Midnight Express, American Werewolf in London. He produced all these. Vision Quest, Flashdance, just watched it. Holds up nicely. Color Purple, Youngblood, hockey movie. That's a good movie.
Delicious. Swayze and Lowe.
Sheck and I rented Youngblood about 2 years ago and sat in my house and watched it.
Fantastic.
We held each other. Which is
Beast. Oh, yeah, Keanu Reeves playing the French-Canadian. I forgot.
You're right. Who's the Girl, Caddyshack, Gorillas in the Mist, Rain Man, Batman, Tango and Cash. Another classic. Bonfire of the Vanities, Batman Returns, Into the Blue. I bought on the pay-per-view Saturday night.
She looks pretty good, doesn't she?
Jessica Alba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was shot beautifully. I love that kind of thing. I mean, not going to call it a great movie, but if you like staying home and you like seeing Jessica Alba in her panties swimming around in slow motion, your movie.
The point is, you do everything. You do the full range. You run the gamut. You do the action pictures, the sports, the Rain Man, the Academy Award winners.
Whatever I like.
Oh, because I got some ideas for you.
Oh my God,
strong ideas.
Oh my God.
Now, I don't. Here's what I'm saying. First off, I need you to shake your mind like an Etch-a-Sketch and clear it out. You know what I mean? I don't want all the preconceived notions. Oh, this guy's some kind of morning zoo, shock jock, a-hole coming in here, doing comedy, doing shtick. These are real ideas.
Well, from a real guy, I'm ready.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Don't get nervous, though, Adam, because if I'm not mistaken, how many phone calls would you say it would take you to get this show pulled off the air? Two? Maybe one. I'm done with this Corolla.
Well, the first one is to himself to remind himself to get the show taken off the air. So technically two, but really just one. All right. First one. This one's called Bomb Squad. Now dig this. It's never more timely with all the bombs going off. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a lot of movies about SWAT. You see a lot of movies about cops and undercover guys and gang guys. What about the Bomb Squad? No movies about the Bomb Squad. This guy, he's got a partner, Shepard Stallmaster. That's his name. He's a tough, grizzled veteran of the Chicago Bomb Squad, Bomb Department. He's got a partner, and his partner dies. He's this close to retirement, but he dies, and Shepard blames himself. Because he said it was a routine call. He sent his buddy in. Buddy got blown up, but here's what happens. And he swears he'd never have another partner, but there's a new device. It's the TX-3. It's a new bomb robot. You know those robots they use? But this one is the next generation. It's infused with artificial intelligence, all right? So it thinks. It has deductive reasoning. And they've used what was left of the brain of his old partner and infused that intelligence, all the years of knowledge about the Bomb Squad, into the new robot. But it's a wisecracking robot. You know what I mean? I'm eating corn dogs and chili dogs. He's saying, you know what that's doing to you? I'm a single guy. I can't get a date. Me and him, it's a buddy. It's a buddy robot. But he's a bomb robot. But eventually I fall for him. He becomes a human to me. And again, he has my old partner's sensibilities. What do you think?
So is it like a Brokeback Mountain to the robot's male? So it's like you're going to have...
Yeah, it could be.
The sex is a little clangy because it's metal?
There's lube involved because he has gears and things, yeah.
Action figures?
Yeah, you could spin this off into a Saturday morning show, then the action figures. I mean, it just keeps going.
Low budget?
We could get it done, but again, the robot's not going to be free.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Is there a sequel in it?
Well, we'll see how the first one does.
Oh, no, we got to plan the sequel right away. That's part of the poll.
Okay, well, I figure there could be a sequel, yeah. Because the robot actually blows up in the first one. But then there'll be another generation robot after that. Mm.
You think there's a challenge, you know, when you call a picture, you know, about the bomb, that the critics then, they pick up on that word, you know.
They use
like,
the bomb, yeah.
It's not the bomb, it becomes a bomb, you know,
right.
Isn't that a challenge?
Right, Bomb Squad has the word bomb right into
it. Yeah, you know those sharp critics in the morning, you know, sometimes in these morning shows,
yeah.
They say that picture about a bomb, you know.
Right.
Kind of exploded
point.
In their face. You want to change the name.
Decent point.
You really
point.
Have to think about that?
Yeah.
Sure. Titles are wow. titles.
But
mean
what
a
if
lot.
They said, "Oh, that movie's the bomb."
Right.
You're not going to use that in the equation.
Yeah, you would. But you know, it's kind of a risk.
It.
You know, we like to be risk averse. So if he can get Tom Cruise to play the live person, and we get the voice, let's say the voice of the
Bruce
the robot,
Willis,
Bruce
I think
Willis
we get.
Voice
yeah.
Of, yeah. Yeah. That,
I know
you have something.
I know what you're saying about the title because I had an idea for a movie once called Stinking Pile of Ass. And the producer said, no, you know what? The right. critics are going to run with that.
Is that animated?
Can I ask this? So that's the part of the... Because I think people wonder, what does an executive producer... What are his... You know, you're not the director. You're obviously not in the picture. So, well, executive producer, these are the things you concern yourself with. The name of the picture. And
the catering. You can do the catering. You know, it could be, you know, the swag bag for the premiere. It could be, you know, the parking spot where you park your car. You know, it could be some really, really important, critical things that an executive producer can do. You know,
I'm going out on a limb. Big Sox fan?
Oh, my God. You know, now that they won, I've lost my image. You know, they won that year.
I know.
You killed my whole game.
I know.
I could be the victim. Now I'm, you know, now I got to stand up for them all the time.
I know. All the Boston fans are like a comic who had a huge schnoz whose whole act was based around their big beak on, and then they got a nose job. And now it's like, what do I do? What's my act? They have no act anymore. They won. Deb loves this idea, this Bomb Squad idea. Deb?
I love it.
Thank you. That's enough. It's not going to get any better than that. All right, I got another. I got a few. Man, I got some strong stuff here. How about this one? This one's called See You in Hell. Now, dig this. Dig this. There's a terrorist of biblical proportions. He's taking the year 2009. Okay, no, let's push it back. 2021. There's a terrorist of biblical proportions. He's taking over the world. The only way to figure out how to stop him is to talk to some of the greatest masterminds in history who are now residing in hell. Hitler, Stalin, Nostradamus, all these folks are all... The only way to stop this madman is to consult them. So, I play Blaine Wheeler. I'm an ex-Navy SEAL and special ops guy. I am going to go into hell and go get this information. Now, there's some Benedictine monks that have a porthole out of hell, high upon some mountain somewhere, but you can only get out. The way I get into hell is I have to kill myself, because according to the Bible, that's how you go to hell. So they hook me up. I'm in full uniform. I got all, you know, I got my clips and my pistol and everything, and I have to throw the switch on the suicide machine, technically, so I can send myself to hell. Now I go to hell. Now I'm in hell, and I have 48 hours to find Hitler, to find all these infamous characters who reside in hell. But you know what? Along the way, I meet a beautiful woman who overdosed on drugs when she was 19, a beautiful model who shouldn't be there, but technically died at her own hands and is now in hell. There's only room in the porthole for one to get out. Huh?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I like
but you
that
have
idea.
To save the world.
I have to save the world, but maybe I have to give her the information and send her out to give her another chance at life. Maybe the child, the seed that I put in her while we're humping in hell, turns out to be the savior of the world. Huh?
Wow.
What did you eat for
breakfast?
I got chills. Get me some of it. I mean,
a big bowl of genius and moxie.
Oh, wow. I think you must have it, because an ensemble cast putting it together is hell. Who plays Hitler and stuff? Maybe the same actor, like Peter Sellers, plays all the villains?
Interesting.
You know?
Like
that
is
Sellers
nice to play Hitler.
I like that. Can I, a little wrinkle, I don't mean to steal your thunder, Ace, but I mean, you're a nice actor and everything, and you could do the boxing and everything, but let me just throw this at you. Van Damme in the starring role. What if it's Van Damme? He has to fight him off. Then all you need are karate guys is playing Hitler and stuff, you know?
You have to dub Van Damme, though, because I will get you, you know?
Schwarzenegger's the governor of California. I think we'll buy Van Damme as the ex-SEAL. All right, but this is a good idea. I mean, I'm not seeing hell. Taking himself to hell. Never been done before,
you know,
as far as I
know. You climb out of that hole, though, you got to worry that in case it has sphincter arrest when you try to get out and you can't get out and you're trapped in hell with all these villains.
Don't worry. We'll hit it with a 55-gallon drum of Preparation A, and we'll all be out. All right, here's the next one. Now, this is strong. This is really strong. This is an Olympic movie, all right? Now, it's the terrorists. Instead of taking over the Olympics, because security is too high at the Olympics, I mean, there's helicopters and cameras everywhere, the terrorists have gotten smart. Why not go to Golden, Colorado, to the American Olympic Village, the training center in the United States, and take over where there's almost no security there just before the Olympics? So the terrorists come into Colorado, and they take over the entire American training center. It's called Rings of Honor, this one. And they're trapped. They're all trapped in the gymnasium. The pole vaulters, the sprinters, the shot putters, they're all there. And the terrorists are counting down. They're going to start killing hostages. And here's the thing. They all have to use their special Olympic, and I don't mean special Olympics, I mean unique Olympic strengths to get out. Like, they got to get out through the upper window. It's 18 foot four. The pole vaulter, his personal best is 18.3. He's got to make it. He's got to use his pole vault to get out of there. Think of, don't laugh. This is a serious movie. And then, now here's the culmination. Gets to the very end. Again, everyone's using the pommel horse. They're using all their Olympic skills to thwart the terrorists. At the end, they have to make it in to warn, because there's an atomic bomb that's been planted. It is 26.4 miles, or whatever the marathon distance is. The bomb's going to go off in 2 hours and 9 minutes, which was 2 minutes better than the marathoner's personal best. He has to make it. See, everyone has to exceed their personal best. What do you think?
I think that could work. Like the Dirty Dozen, you mean all the different personalities working together, they can't really get along, but if they don't succeed?
Yeah, and it's like they used to do, like, this guy's a knife thrower, this guy's a demolitions expert, I'll be the face man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, then Steven Spielberg could do the film of it afterwards, you know, like, call it Just Golden instead of Munich, just Golden Torch.
Yeah. The gay skater seduces the guard.
Oh, that's some Brokeback work.
Yeah. I'm just saying, just give. Don't just shrug these off.
I'm writing them all down because I'm going to steal them later.
Yeah. Gold, silver, and brawn. That's the tagline. Ooh. Under the thing. You know what I mean? And, or, you know, if you're an American, you'll see this. You know what I mean? Put challenge them a little bit.
Bob Costas is going to do the promotional pieces for that?
Yeah. And, and no one will say anything bad about it because it's so patriotic and it's a wonderful film. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Peter Goober is in studio. I got a couple others to pitch you. Sunday Morning Shootout, name of his show, 11 a.m. Sunday mornings, AMC. We'll take a quick break. Sarah Silverman coming up. Also, John Stewart coming up in the show after this.
Hey, this is Richard Jenny. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM because he's really lonely.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman coming up later in the show. Also, John Stewart. Speaking of Oscars, Peter Goober in studio. Mega producer. Sunday Morning Shootout, name of his show on AMC, 11 o'clock. Peter is responsible for some of the biggest hits in Hollywood. And continues, yes?
Yes.
Rain Man, Gorillas in the Mist, Caddyshack, Batman, Returns, Youngblood, Vision Quest, Flashdance. Still enjoying Flashdance. Saw it last weekend. Rain Man.
What's your favorite of all the pictures you made?
The most fun one to make by 100% was Gorillas in the Mist. Being up on top at 11,000 feet in the middle of Virunga's in Africa with real gorillas, not the ones that live in Hollywood. You know, it's just phenomenal. It was an incredible experience.
And, scary, Sigourney though? Weaver? Yeah. Was that
Sigourney Weaver, yeah.
How's she?
She's great. She was prettier than the gorillas and fun to work with.
All right. Now, as I've taught everyone on this show, if there's ever somebody you hate and you couldn't stand working with them, but you don't want to say it, you just repeat their name twice. Like, I'll say, how was Sigourney Weaver to work with? And you go, well, you know, Sigourney's Sigourney. You just say their name two times, and that gets you off the hook, and then it lets us know they're horrible people.
I'll do that.
Anybody tough to work? Dustin Hoffman. Dustin?
Great. Dustin Grayton.
Cruz. Great. Tom?
Terrific. Tom the Terrific.
How did you feel about his Oprah appearance and all the nonsense that's been going on lately?
You know, I think that a person has the right to have their own life. You know, that's what makes him interesting. He has a lot of colors. He isn't just boring. He's always dramatic, and he's always unique and spontaneous, and he lets you know where he is. The truth is that his acting feet are there, even if his tongue is in a different direction.
Mm. How about Madonna, or as you call her, Madonna?
Right, Boston accent. She's great. You know, she made a lot of money for us. You know, she's a character.
But is Madonna Madonna?
Madonna. We did League of Our Own. Okay. She was good in that.
All right, so you don't like Madonna.
No. You got to be careful. You know, I'm an equal opportunity abuser.
Who wouldn't you work with again, or who wouldn't you relish working with again? Is there a celebrity? You know, it doesn't make them a bad person, but maybe you guys just... You know what? It'd be like a date, like a blind date, where the two people just didn't hit it off, but it doesn't mean either one of them are bad people.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nobody I wouldn't mind working with again, as long as I'm paying them and I'm not working for them, they're working for me. I can handle most of them.
Stallone?
Yeah, he's a good guy. I did a movie with him. I enjoy it.
Own Cash?
No? Yeah, it was fun.
All right. Sylvester's not Sylvester, is it?
Yeah, but he is Sylvester. That's what makes him interesting. If he had only one color, he'd be boring.
Okay. All right. Jack, you have a question for Peter? All right.
Jack's Jack.
I don't know why, but this just popped in my head. I was pitching movies. I forgot about Pedophile Island or Pedophile.
I see. Yeah,
Isle.
That's nice.
Now dig this. Controversial. It's going to take a producer with a lot of guts to get this one made. But just dig on this. Let's see. How did this one go, Sheck? All right. Here's what it is. It's the year 2014. New York is a maximum security prison. No. I was like, would you guys, by the way, when you do these movies, go ahead and jump farther than 6 months into the future so it's a little more realistic?
The problem is it takes 3 years to get the movie made, so then what happens is it's already past tense.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, just make it 2045. I remember watching movies in 1989 going, the year's 2001. Man has a penis and a vagina. Right. It's like, what? It's 9 years from now.
Then they can really be screwed up.
All right, here's Pettif Isle. Here's how it works. It's 2032. We don't know what to do with the pedophiles and registered sex offenders and everything. So we put them all on an island. They're all on one island where they just take up and... Now, give me some action movie, the music. This is the wrong five. Where they'll take up in the different tribes, like the warriors. You know what I mean? You got the Nambla tribe over here, and then you got the pedophiles that are in, you know, they're all into their different kinds of, and they're all on this one island. All right. Now, cut to a dad who's a Boy Scout leader who's going with his scouts to a jamboree that's in Hawaii. Going to a jamboree in Hawaii. And he's convinced his reluctant teenage son, who's 16 but used to be an Eagle Scout, who's grown his hair out, now is rebelling against the man. Come on, you're going with me on this jamboree. He argues with Pops, but reluctantly goes. They're coming back from the jamboree. It's the dad. It's the son he's grown estranged from, ex-Eagle Scout. And then the 10 or 12 9-year-old Boy Scouts. The plane crashes into pedophile. Now they're on pedophile. Now here's the thing. Here's how it works. The government denies all existence of pedophile because they know people would be outraged if they knew we were secretly having this program. So they will not send in people to look for the plane. It's up to the Boy Scouts to fend for themselves, having to use the different merit badges, starting the fires, all that. Now, dad dies in the plane crash, oh, and it's boy. Up to the son who'd grown the hair out, got the tattoo, and rebelled against fire to rely on his Eagle Scout training and make his father proud. They take up now, and they have to get off pedophile.
What's the rating?
It's a PG. It's G.
It's G.
It's G. Oh, I get it. Everyone's
is it
welcome.
Is it a faith-based film?
Yeah. So
it's animated, maybe.
Mormon Church is going to put up most of the money.
Oh, that's good. You know, that's really good. The only thing you got to remember about that kind of a film is the trailer can mislead you, so you got to be really careful. You know, really.
Plane going down.
Saturday morning cartoons early.
Maybe John Malkovich type is the leader of the pedophiles.
Nice.
Oh, when this fresh blood stumbles into their camp, and they don't know they're on pedophile. See the guy comes. Oh, they're happy. Hey, I see smoke coming over. Let's go over there and check it out. One Boy Scout goes in. He's devoured by the pedophiles. Now it's up to the Eagle Scout.
This is awful.
Powerful, though.
But
hey, life ain't pretty, Rachel.
DVD, all the outtakes for the DVD, they're going to be incredibly. You stream them, get all the unique people looking at them, then you arrest everybody that comes out of the theater that day.
To look at, yeah.
Haley Joel Osment stars.
Oh, boy.
Is the lead 9-year-old, huh? What
I'd like
think?
To see Harry Dean Stanton.
Here's
one
a twist.
Of the,
here's a big Harry Dean Stanton.
He's one of the
old
bad guys. One, yeah.
Yes, the sage.
Yeah.
The old pedophile. And here's that one. Dakota Fanning, in a twist, cuts her hair off, plays a young boy.
Oh, that's ooh. Oscar all
powerful
over.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. It's a sequel to Brokeback.
All right, write that down.
Oh, this
what's your pick for the Oscar
that made
this
me
year?
Uncomfortable.
Best picture.
I actually like Crash. I thought it was much more inventive than Brokeback. You know, Brokeback compared to Midnight Cowboy 30 years ago, which was such an
right.
X-rated, unbelievable film.
Right.
Crash has got an institutional bias for me. It's just so unique. It works across the whole world. It touches everybody in some way. A magical piece of writing. I was pretty amazed by that film.
I heard it was good. I have not seen it, but I'm sorry I'm still on pedophile. Gary Glitter does the soundtrack.
Gary Glitter.
Oh.
Well, appropriate.
How about in IMAX? Do it in IMAX.
Oh, yes.
Giant screen. Can you imagine the pedophile? Imagine the body parts in giant screen, 70 feet high.
Oh.
Ooh, 3D.
Yeah.
3D. Coming at you today is pedophile.
Listen, I don't need your... I don't need your sympathy. So either you're serious about making this movie, nay, film. Either you're serious about making this
but
film or I'll shop it somewhere else.
Pitching is important. You got to participate. You got to understand collaboration. It's part of the art form.
I think I'm doing a fine job of pitching all
you
these
are,
projects.
I'm sorry. I thought Peter Goober was a serious filmmaker. Apparently,
yeah.
I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You know.
Lightweight.
What's your favorite? What's your Academy Award winner of the pitches you heard from Carolla? What's your favorite?
I don't like pedophile worries me because, you know, it
hold on. Pedophile.
One.
Pedophile.
Pedophile. I'm sorry.
Pedophile. You know, like Gilligan's Island.
Like Rain Man. Pedophile. I got you.
Yeah, it's the island. The island of pedophiles.
But
yeah.
The challenge. But I like the thing from Hell because, you know, it gives you ensemble casting, gives you a unique thing. And I just picture everybody climbing out. You know what's something? We could take the War of the Worlds. You know that sphincter at the end of War of the Worlds where everything comes out? We could use it again. We can get some value from that.
That's right. Perfect. Repurpose.
This is what a producer does. Yeah,
you got to think that way.
All Perfect. Right. I want to thank Peter Goober for coming in and weathering my storm. Sunday morning shootout, 11 a.m. Sunday mornings.
Good luck to the Red
AMC.
Sox.
Yeah, go Sox. I want to thank Peter. Also, Roy Horn is calling in from Las Vegas on the man. John Stewart, Sarah Silverman. So much comedy on the way. Thank you again, Peter. And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, Big Tad here. Coming up on The Adam Carolla Show, Oscar host John Stewart and comedian Sarah Silverman. Don't go anywhere.
The Ace Man's taking his radio show March 9th out to Las Vegas. They got sexy Rachel Perry and Dave Damaschek, the man who's in love with the Steelers. They're hauling Big Fat Tad out in an elephant trailer. Mike August booked an Elvis impersonator. The Ace Man's going to Vegas. The Ace Man's going to Vegas. The Ace Man, the Ace Man's going to Vegas.
Yes, indeed, indeed. On March 9th, show will be aired on the 10th in the morning at its normal time. We'll do 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Someone is going to join us when we're out there. And by the way, Sarah Silverman and John Stewart, talk about comedy powerhouse. Nobody represents each sex in the comedy department better than these two. Mm. I defy anyone to find a funnier female or male than our next two guests that are coming on. Just handed this, by the way. I was looking over my Oscar picks, and those have gotten screwed. I was watching Goodfellas last night.
So was I.
One of the best movies ever made.
Were you guys together?
Well, here's the thing. Even when we're apart, we're together. You know what I mean?
I've always felt that, but I thought it'd be a little, I don't know, to say that to you.
Thanks to the locket that Dave got me many years ago. I pulled the picture of
that was
Ben Roethlisberger out and put his picture in, and now I cherish it.
It was just about you and me. We don't need to air that.
Okay, I'm sorry. What happened to lockets? Remember those days?
Mm.
Little piece of jewelry about the size of an acorn hanging around your neck with a faded, crappy picture the size of a postage stamp of your lover that you got to stare at? The internet porn has destroyed all that.
Because you could never find a small enough picture to go in there.
Yeah, by the way, what happened to the art of taking puny pictures?
I know. Nobody does it anymore.
Yeah. Find me a photographer that takes... Forget about the big posters. I want one the size of my pinky nail.
You'd have to find a picture of yourself, or a picture, and then find a picture of the person you wanted to put in the locket in the background somewhere.
That's right.
Cut just around the head.
Yes, honey,
shove it
move back. Stand way back down the street. I'm going to take a shot of you so I can fit you in my locket.
Back in the day, that must have been an art before digital cameras and the whole
process. Let me tell you, the Corollas were great locket makers from the old country.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? It's a craft of yours.
Mm-hmm. Where were we?
If you fancy looking at lovely ladies, though, I suggest you go to adamcarolla.com where you'll find a bounty of Rachel Perry pictures.
What?
Yes. That's right. Beautiful Rachel Perry pictures. Underpants.
Where?
Pictures of plenty.
No, wait a second.
That's right.
Birds, legs akimbo. Birds of prey in full
form. How do you spell Corolla?
I think it's C-O-R. Rachel's got her bird tats. It cracks me up just to hear the Hawkman every time. All right. Roy Horn is calling in. Nice enough to call in from his palatial compound in Las Vegas.
Great. He's back on his feet, too.
Great. On the mend. Roy?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Great to talk to you, Roy. Thanks for calling in the program once again.
Yeah, I think you called me. What time is it?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I guess we did. Well, thanks for coming on the program anyway.
Man, we had a wild night last night out here.
You did? What happened?
You know, I'm getting back on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I told Siegfried last night we have a little fun for a change.
Mm-hmm.
I told him we try something different and that we need to spice it up. We play hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
So,
still breathing through the trachea.
I said, I will hide and you will try to find me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find me, you can have me in the ass and give me a shower of gold. I'll be behind the couch.
I got the same rules with my nephews.
Yeah, I told him I will be behind the couch.
Oh, I see. I got it. I'm sorry. I was thinking about my nephews. Yeah, you told him where you're going to be.
As though he would be hard to find with the breathing tube problem.
Right, right. Follow the trail of phlegm. So, Roy, you're up on your feet. I saw Pat O'Brien interviewing you some weeks back. You're on the mend. Are you looking to get back on stage, or how's it look for now?
Well, when you come out, all bets are off. Who knows what will happen, but I'm just taking it one day at a time, and right now I can say I feel great.
Well, so but you, it's a week from today. We'll be out there. Will you join us, though, for the show at the Palms?
Yeah, of course. You go there. We get to hang out with some real rock and rollers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Litz on the Poodles of Mud.
The Puddles of Mud, yeah.
Poodles.
Although that's not a bad name.
Yeah, you know, Adam.
Hmm.
I've always thought you're a cute guy.
Thank you. It seems to be the consensus around here as well.
But Siegfried is the one who wants you, and I have my eyes on David.
Well, maybe you guys can consummate that on the 9th.
Yeah, maybe it's a ghost bar.
All right, well, I'm glad you're feeling... you sound better than you did before the accident, if I may say so.
Well, I sound maybe... You know, I sound great, but...
Maybe after the show, maybe after we do the radio show, do you think you could take us around town?
Yeah, definitely. I take you around town once you come up to our estate for a private show.
We're looking forward to that
show.
Yeah, Roy, go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe you get to have a private show with my old friend Montecore.
I thought you turned him into a rug.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right, can you hang on a second, Roy, because somebody's on the phone, Steve, and he wants to play Germany or Florida with us.
Yeah.
Germany or Florida.
Yeah, they give us the bizarre story that either came from Germany or Florida, and then we guess, is it Germany or Florida? I learned over at the Kimmel Writers Room that every twisted, effed-up story in the world emanates from one of two places, Germany or Florida. We'll hear it, we'll guess. Roy, a native of Germany himself, I believe, should play along with us. So let me just get Steve up. Steve?
How's it going, Adam?
Good. You got a Germany or Florida for us?
I got it for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm going to warn you at the head of this that you're...
Oh, wait a minute. I think I hung up on him because I was trying to get Roy on the phone, too. All right, get him to call back, Brian, and then I'll figure out how to put both of them on simultaneously. Roy? Let's see if I can get him back. Roy?
Yeah.
Sorry, this close to playing Germany or Florida, and I hung up on our caller. Have you played before?
Oh, I've been to Germany and to Florida and to Vegas and all around the world. Oh, I've gone all the way.
Okay. All right, well, hang tight. I'll get, what was his name, Steve? Is he the one on the phone? Should I try him again? Okay. Probably not the greatest idea in the world to hang up on the one guy who's going to provide the content for the next 5 minutes on the show.
What do you mean? You have magic legend.
That's true.
One half of the great Siegfried and Roy show.
Yeah. Listen, when you come out, make sure when you come to our house, make sure you're in the mood for Vice First.
Your cook?
Mm-hmm.
Siegfried is.
All right. Hold on a second. Let's try Steve now. Steve?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
What's happening?
All right. I'm gonna warn you at the head of this that you're going to think that you know this story.
Mm-hmm.
If that hits you, then let me know, and I'm going to jump right to the end of it so I can fill you in on the fact that it's not what you think it is. Okay, you ready?
Thank you for that confusing precursor. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. A gay man who killed his partner, dismembered him, and then froze the body parts to eat later was sentenced to 13 years in prison on Tuesday. Police say that the man's 33-year-old partner had been stabbed to death with a screwdriver and then was sawed into pieces, and his torso, legs, arms, and some of his internal organs, including the heart and liver, had been put into the freezer.
Hold on a second. Gay board op, pre-op, board op, Bill? Please stop masturbating. It's distracting. Let me just let him finish the story. He has a different sensibility than we do. Sorry. Go ahead, Steve.
Some of the body parts were fed to the couple's cats. The two men met on an internet site for cannibals, where the sentencee said in his internet ad that he was looking for a svelte man around 30 for a holiday roast dinner.
Oh,
if
wow.
you are between 18 and 25 years old, you are my boy. Come to me and I will eat your horny flesh, his ad said.
Adam, do you want to keep going? I mean, there's the Dunkles, they're our old neighbors.
Oh, really? You're the Dunkles?
They were good people, yeah. You can keep reading if you want, but
well,
the Dunkles.
I see, so you're saying Germany is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, everyone has their little foibles and stuff, but, you know.
Right. Like, for instance, I had a neighbor that had really loud wind chimes. I'd ask him to take it down because it would keep me up at night when the wind blows. And you had a neighbor that devoured gay men that he met on the internet.
I got to know them because Montecore would always go into their sandbox and take a crap.
Incorrigible.
I tried to take a leak in Jimmy's kid's sandbox once, and he's still mad about it.
Why on earth would he be upset about that?
I was trying to go outside like a gentleman. What was I supposed to do? Go on the kitchen floor?
You peed in a child's sandbox?
I attempted to. Jimmy caught me halfway into it.
What a prude, that
I'm
Jimmy.
Saying, yeah, go ahead.
You won't.
You know what? But don't throw a party then if you don't want people to urinate in your kid's sandbox. Okay?
You claim that you won't pee. You haven't peed on a toilet seat, but you'll pee in the sandbox where children play?
They hardly use the thing.
They eat that stuff.
They barely use it.
Children eat sand.
Let them learn about real life. That's what I say.
Develop a taste for it, young.
You were giving them
That's
tough
right.
love, in
Tough
other words.
Love. That's right. Steve?
Yes.
I'm going to go Germany. I'm with Roy on this one. He actually says he knows the family. So
I can't
go.
Yeah, I can't go against Roy Moore.
I don't know. This is probably the hardest one ever. I'm going to go Florida.
Going Florida. Rachel Perry goes Florida. We all go Germany. Steve, is it Germany or Florida?
It is Berlin, Germany.
Wow.
Of course.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
So sad. And only 13 years handed out.
Only 13 years.
Well, here's the thing. You sell a couple of tabs of peyote at a fish concert here, you can get 13 years, no problem.
Yeah.
There you freeze a gay corpse and feed the penis to your cat. Same time.
That's a shame that Dunkelson won't be available to attend the party next week.
Hey, Adam.
Yes.
I heard your story the other day about how you can't read.
Yes.
I run a company. We manufacture their multimedia clip notes on DVD, so you don't even have to read the books at all.
Yeah.
Can I send one to you? They're called Rocket Books.
Sure, go ahead. You did a good job on Germany or Florida.
Can I plug my website?
No.
Germany.
You did a decent job. You did a great job. You got to plug out for your company. All right, let's take a break. Roy?
Yeah.
Nice job.
Hey, listen, we would party down. I am ready. I am back and better. Better than ever.
Roy Horn, everybody.
Can't wait to hang out with him.
See him in Vegas on the 9th. All right, we'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. John Stewart coming up in a couple of minutes. Dear, 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 funny, funny friend, Sarah Silverman, also coming up on the show. A lot of comedy ahead of us. So I figure if John's going to be talking about the Oscars, we should talk a little more movies before we talk to him. One movie I never did get around to pitching to Peter Guber is a little something called Subterranean Parking. It's a powerful movie. Now just dig on this. Each year, Pebble Beach, Northern California. Pebble Beach, the famed golf course. Pebble Beach. Each September, I believe it is, it's the home to the Concours d'Elegance, the greatest car show in the world. Millions and millions of dollars worth of automobiles there, piled high on the 18th green. I've seen it, and the fairway as well. I've been there a few times. There was about $400 or $500 million worth of vintage automobiles there. Everything from the turn of the century stuff to, you know, Ferrari prototypes, racing cars, many of them being worth $10-15 million a car. All just strewn across the green there, right up against the ocean. The beautiful Pacific Ocean runs up against it. And little to no security. So here's the story. We start off with Seagal, Steven Seagal. He's an ex-SEAL. He's an ex-Green Beret. Special Forces guy. Punched out a commanding officer. Now has been busted.
Now he's a whale.
He is big. We're going to have him trim up for the part.
Oh, okay.
He's been demoted to the job of tending to the general's prize Rolls-Royce, 1938 Silver Shadow. He has to wear the old garb, the old outfit, the old chauffeur's outfit, and he's just sitting there and dusting the old general's Rolls-Royce, who enters it in the concourse every year. All of a sudden, in the harbor, in the Pebble Beach harbor, a sub surfaces. It's an old mothballed Mariner class Soviet Union sub that's been hijacked from the former Soviet Union. It's 400 feet long. It could hold 35 cars. And renegades have stolen the sub and are pulling into the harbor. Now they do that thing where the guy gets on the 50 caliber machine gun that's mounted on the top, mm-hmm. and he starts spraying the beach with cracking the windshields and everything. The pivotal moment comes when Seagal sees his reflection in the cracked rearview mirror that's been shot out of the general's Rolls-Royce. Now the guy's going, they come ashore, and at gunpoint, they're going to take the millions of dollars worth of Bugattis and Duesenbergs and load them all up onto the sub and take them to the port of Brunei to sell to the Sultan over there for millions of dollars. And there's nothing that anyone can do. They're all dressed in the period garb. There's just a couple of rent-a-cops around. But what's Seagal do? Stows away in the trunk.
But wait, now Seagal, though, he's an ex-SEAL.
The ex-SEAL.
But now somehow he's wound up. He gave up the life.
He was busted down. Well, you know what he did? They went on a SEAL operation. One of those ones where advance, they say, gentlemen, if you're caught, we disavow all knowledge of this mission, in which case I'm not leaving the room. Well, hold on now. No way.
That's the difference between you and Seagal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I guess it is. Yeah, and he has to leave 35 good men behind. So when he gets back, he does that move where he walks right into the CO's office and just busts him right in the chops, punches him right in the nose, and then, of course, he gets busted down to chauffeur. They're going to let him ride out his tour. But
his promising military career over.
Cut short because he punched out his commanding officer because he had to leave good men behind on the top secret mission. Mm-hmm. So now, yes, he's just the chauffeur for the general now, but he gets, once the guy shoots up the cars, he gets it back in his blood, and he jumps into the trunk of the Rolls, which, of course, is taken on the new submarine. Now he gets out of the Rolls, and he's down in the hold. Of course, there's security has to take them out. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe there's also some old... Oh, there's old nuclear missiles on the sub as well. This needs to be stopped. Yes, Rachel?
Is this a chick flick?
Yeah, it could, yeah. Yeah, because chicks dig Seagal. You know, it's an action movie. Maybe they're not interested in the story, but they're certainly introduced... they're certainly interested in the heavyset guy.
Is there involved in this at all?
Interesting, yes.
A man in his cars.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
Adam with
but him. He physically enters it through the exhaust pipe. I mean, there is a love story. There's a story. You're not feeding you?
I still like See You in Hell better.
You like it? You're not a car? You don't love cars, Rachel?
No.
Really?
I like my car. I wouldn't go see that movie.
You wouldn't? But hold on.
Oh.
Hold on. There's a beautiful woman on board.
Oh.
Possibly
Tell
played by Rachel Perry.
Oh.
She was. She's a former Miss Soviet Union.
You're drawing me in.
She was abducted because the whole thing took place. Yes. Here's what happened. Former. She's a Miss Soviet Union, and the sub was stolen during the ceremony, during the mothballing ceremony. We're gonna take this sub, and she went down to the dock. She got thrown onto the sub when they took off for Pebble Beach. So now she's a hostage on board, and it's gonna be sold into sexual slavery to one of the Sultan of Brunei's men.
Oh no!
Once they get there, yes, they're gonna toss her in. Gratos.
Does she? Who saves her?
I'll tell you who. Seagal. Because now Seagal emerges from the trunk of the Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow, and now he's on the sub. And it's up to him to stop it. That's about as far as I got. Subterranean parking.
Well, I like Rachel Perry in the movie, too, as the Soviet vixen. And then for the comic relief, the birds of prey that adorn her torso, they'll be like the comic relief, much like Spritel and Chim Chim in Speed Racer. Yes. Or maybe they could be involved in busting this crime.
Can you do a Soviet? Can you do an accent?
My accents sound the same.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear them. They sound Soviet.
Give me something to say. I don't know.
We have to deactivate the nuclear missile or we'll all die.
Quick, we have to deactivate the nuclear missile or we both die.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay.
They all sound Latin.
That was good. That was good. Now, this time, try it again, but have fun with it. I mean, I really want you to sell it. Just really sell it.
Hurry up!
Yeah.
We have to deactivate the missile or we will both die.
That's good.
Try this now. Try it. General Tchaikovsky, you will now meet your fate at the hands of my birds of prey.
General Tchaikovsky, you will now meet your death at the hands of my birds of prey. See, right. I don't do accents.
That turned a little Asian.
I told you,
they all kind of go
listen, we
Asian,
get you,
Mexican.
On. We get you a coach.
Gay.
You guys work the Berlitz tapes for a couple of months before we start the shooting. We let you and Seagal hang out for a little, catch each other's vibe.
Talk about how, you can talk about how Seagal, was I nervous when I met Steven Seagal? Sure I was. I mean, but he is such a giving actor.
Talk about how generous he is. Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah, Steven.
No, you don't call him even Steven, Steve.
All right. We will, heard Dave on locale in San Francisco station. Let me figure out what this call is.
What?
John Stewart going to be in here in a second, or at least on here in a second. Janet?
Hey, Adam.
How say you?
Well, Dave, I have a bone to pick with him.
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead, pick away.
The local radio station that he was on, I called you guys a few months ago about a local radio station who was bashing you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
That was the show Dave was on.
No way.
Dave bashing
yes,
me on
it. Was.
No, I wasn't bashing you.
What? I know.
What gives?
I don't understand.
Dave, were you doing some moonlighting on us?
No, I was instructed by your friend over here, Bruska, to make time with them. Yeah, they bash us.
Here's the deal. We wanted to promote Vegas, so they asked, actually us, for Dave to come on this guy's show. Is it London or someone?
Right.
Yeah.
It was John London.
Okay, they asked Dave to come on, and I had no idea they had bashed him previously. Otherwise, it would have been a different tone in that phone call.
All right.
Exactly, because the thing is, because you went on there, I didn't hear all of it. I only caught the end of it, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, because I had called and told you guys about this months ago, and then I hear Dave on there, and you guys are all, and he's basically, you know, telling Dave to bend over, you know? I mean, he's royally kissing your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I like
if you
that.
Will.
Yeah, well, look, here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Everybody does that thing where they run up to everyone, whether you have a radio show or whether you just work in a business, and they run up to everyone and go, did you hear what Tammy was saying about? Oh, you should have heard. You should have heard. You should have heard. It's a horrible impulse. I don't give a rat's ass what people say about me. I really don't. And if you don't listen to it and you don't talk to them, it doesn't exist.
You're a bigger man than I.
I just don't. I'm a lazier man than you is what it is.
No, it burns a fire in my belly.
There's too much TiVo out there. I got too much living through TiVo to do, to live in the past and worry about what people say. I'm sure many people disagree with what I say, are offended by what I say, are jealous, or just legitimately think I suck. That's fine.
I wish people were talking crap about me. Come on. Look at where it's gotten Paris Hilton.
That's true.
The Paris Hilton
of
this.
Speaking of people who get a lot of the business, breaking news. Brittany and Kevin may be done.
Oh, really?
Brittany's showing up, not wearing the ring. That's what Ted Casablanca from E! Told us the other day. He hinted at this. Now, Federline's been spotted with some Frenchie lady.
Wow. Who knew these two wouldn't go on forever?
I think she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Have you seen these pictures?
Showing a picture of the Star magazine.
She's
We got to, thanks. Right, we're all over the road now. First, that's we don't true. Care what people say. Secondly,
Brittany may be done.
Brittany may be done.
I didn't mean to do so.
That's fine.
I'm outraged.
Look, say whatever you want.
I feel dirty.
Don't care. Take a rape shower. John Stewart is coming on after this, and then, of course, Sarah Silverman after that.
This is Howie Mandel. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. I don't know why. He just told me to tell you to call him now. What am I, his receptionist?
Mm-hmm. John Stewart. Maybe you've heard. He's hosting the Oscars, 78th Annual Oscar Awards, Sunday nights. Or I should say Sunday night, singular. ABC, 5 o'clock. John's on the phone. Dear, dear old friend, John Stewart. John?
What's happening?
Thank you for calling in.
I'm delighted to get up as early as I possibly can.
I know. I know your schedule must be hell, and we do appreciate you finding time for us.
It is hell. You know, Adam, when you're trying to captain an award show, it's grueling. You learn a lot about yourself, a lot about the people around you.
I've often said how brave you are to take on this challenge.
Well, thank you. You know, it's interesting. The team of Moroccan boys they have here in my hotel that powder and shave me also were saying the same thing.
Really? In the broken English, yeah.
As they broke the English and peeled kiwi.
Oh, what a life. You jest, but what a life. What a life. And is this... So let me ask you, John, because we've known each other for a long time.
40 years.
I guess I first met John when he was doing Kevin and Bean, and then we went over and watched him tape his syndicated show.
That's right. That was probably, what, like 15 years ago?
Getting close to 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were smart. We decided to kiss John's ass early and often because I knew this kid had what we call it. And finally, the Academy has caught on. But is this surreal for you?
No, I always felt like I would know you guys for about 10 or 15 years.
No, John,
obviously something would happen where I would cut you off, you, Jimmy, the rest of the gang.
I mean the hosting of the Oscars, so that I do appreciate
it. I'm doing
that.
What?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, the nice thing is, though, I think for a comic, it's at this point, at least, it's still just a gig. Like, you're in, you know, no matter what gig you do, there's always the same windowless room where you and the rest of the guys sit.
Right.
And you know, hassle over should the noun go at the end of the joke or should the, you know. So it's in many respects, it's the same joke. It's just that now the jokes you're writing about Jack Nicholson, he'll be there.
Right. Well, we were talking. I was when I first heard the news. I was talking to super agent James Baby Doll Dixon.
You know, a lot of people will never forget where they were.
Yes.
When they first heard that news.
I was somewhere in North America. I'll never forget it.
Talking to James Baby Doll Dixon.
Well, here's how I know you're on the blower, because, you know, here's the whole thing. There are clients. James Baby Doll Dixon probably has 20 clients. I probably rank somewhere in the middle. And when I'm talking to him and there's a beep on there, hold on, let me get that. And he says, I got to go. That's John Stewart on the other line. And now...
you know who blows me out? Tanya.
Harding?
No.
His wife. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's,
I didn't know he was. I know he's now. I know he's.
I'm on the phone with him. I'll hear boop, and he'll go, buddy, that's Tanya. Let me call you.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I know. Well, you know why?
Come on, Bubby.
Because
Bubby, call me.
He's perpetually in hot water with his wife. That's why it's always a sort of cleanup.
The man's an animal. He works.
I know. He's down here bothering
me. He loves it.
He's already down there with you.
I know. And he's doing my thing
later. He's coming up to the show. He's installing some stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's doing a lot while he's out here.
No, he's setting up bleachers in front of the Kodak Theater.
Bleachers, doing some things at the Kodak. He's a man's on a mission.
Nobody can smoke, eat, and talk on a cell phone like James Baby Doll Dixon and drive a rented Ford.
Do you know how many phones he has accidentally eaten or smoked?
Yes. All right, and it is so true. So, John, I don't even know where to begin. First off,
are there any porn stars in your studio right now?
No. Other than Rachel Perry's done a little softcore, but she doesn't want us to talk about it. So you're not, are you nervous? Because here's, let me just kiss your ass for a second.
Yeah, please. Somebody should. It hasn't happened all week.
When James Baby Doll Dixon said to me, I got to go because Jon Stewart's on the other line, and it turns out he's going to be hosting the 78th Annual Oscars, and this was about a month ago, I said, you know what? No better choice, because here's a guy who is constantly in fighting shape. I used a fighting analogy. I said,
you used the boxing analogy.
I used the boxing analogy.
Pugilist.
Yes, I said, here's a guy who's never out of the gym. Now, when Robin Williams or Billy Crystal has to do it, you have to dust those guys off. They've been doing a movie, or maybe they've been doing a play, but they haven't been doing stand-up. They haven't been creating the comedy and doing
it. I'm still down there slugging it out in the trenches. I'm still a young pug, you're saying.
I am saying, back to the pugilist thing, you're one of these fighters who could take a fight on short notice. 2 days' notice, you don't have to train. You're always in fighting shape.
But I'm pretty sure that those guys are also referred to as palookas.
Well,
am I right?
We also call you tomato cans. The point is,
I think we're just indiscriminate effigies that just get thrown into the ring.
The point is you're always in fighting shape because you're doing the Daily
ready
Show.
For Oscar De La Hoya to put his fist through my head.
Wow, and he got the Oscar in there, too.
See? See where I went with that?
Yeah.
I've taken your analogy, your boxing analogy, and slowly woven it back to show business.
Now, if I were you, I would be a mess at this point, wanting not to talk to idiots like me, wanting not to do other shows.
As you know, I have some pre-show rituals, and that always includes a few minutes with Adam Carolla before every show. People don't realize that, whether it be the Oscars, the Daily Show.
I do the thing where I tell him, just have fun out there. And he gives me a
Shouldn't we have one of those things like the nice old, the rapport right before you go out? They're like, hey, make the stars shine. You know, what the old guys would say, hey, make those canishes steam.
Yes, steam those canishes, John. John is obviously, now, is everything locked off at this point, John? Do you have all your material prepared, or are you still working on it?
You know, I like to freeform it. I like to go up there and do some jazz. I like to do some scat. What I've done is I've just sort of immersed myself. I sleep with the DVD versions of the films just to let it seep in osmosis-wise. And then I'm hoping when I get out there, some sort of broke-back crash metamorphosis will happen, and I'll just I'll be on top of my game. I'm going to Miles Davis it. So I'm going to turn. I'm not going to face the audience, and I'm just going to scat.
He's going
to... I'm just going to make
not
the thing
happen. Not going to face the audience. I like that.
I'm going to do two jokes and then just be like, I'm out.
So John is going to load up the teleprompter with 2 hours of freeform comedy and then get out there and nail it.
Here's something night. People have never seen before at the Oscars that I think is going to make it happen. Improv games.
Wow. Who, what, where?
That's what we're going to do, baby.
Not only that, but...
I need an emotion.
I need emotion and a famous director.
I'm a bucket of urine. I need an emotion.
You heard it here first. Oh, John, this is exciting.
It's going to be good stuff, baby.
I'm really looking forward to
it.
How
are you holding up? What's going on with the waking up so early? How's that been working out so far?
It's. I was talking about it the other day, which is I have acclimated to the early mornings. My bowels are still on a different clock, and I can't get my bowels acclimated to my early morning wake up.
Now,
and
are you someone that needs a constitutional upon wake up? Are you what's been your typical?
It's what gets me out of bed.
Oh,
I don't wake up and make a Duke. I take a Duke and that wakes me up.
That's an unusual. Most people need some sort of whether it be coffee or cigarette, some sort of impetus.
Yeah.
But yours is that. That's what. Boy, do you have a snoozer on that? Can't you just
Can't
you just hit that and go? Bar. Give me 10 more minutes.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, my wife would like me to do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, John is a former smoker. I know there's nothing that gets you kick-started like a cigarette and a cup of Joe.
Oh boy.
Oh, I know.
I still look at it and just I see people. Although it's certainly much more rare now. It's like the red-tailed lynx. Like occasionally you see one in a zoo, but it just doesn't. But somebody just sitting outside with a coffee and a cigarette, just
It looks good, doesn't it?
Oh, it's good times.
John, I was wondering, are you going to be making eye contact? Will you try to avoid eye contact with the Eastwoods and the Hankses and Spielbergs, or look over their heads kind of thing?
Who am I speaking with? Because now the vocal tenor has changed, and now I don't know who I'm speaking with.
That's, oh, it has? Most people think it's exactly the same.
is that true?
This is Dave. Yeah, everybody thinks that I'm doing an impression of Carolla each morning.
I heard a younger person whose soul hadn't been crushed by the business yet.
Yeah, that's Dave Damashek. Yeah, where is the sight line? Are you going to be nervous? Is it going to be tough to look down and see all those faces?
I never look in the eyes.
Smart.
No, that's right. Your back's going to be sadness and disappointment, whether it be Nicholson or some Joe who came in from Jersey to see your show. Like, that's not, to me, the magnitude of the star who is disappointed in you has no difference than somebody who took a train. And as a matter of fact, I care less about probably them than I do about people who come to the show just because they've made an effort. You know, these guys are going to be there anyway.
Plus, they're also coked up. They're not going to remember the evening anyway.
Are you talking about my fans or the...
Yes. Oh, no, Jack and right. company. I am thrilled to death for you, John. And I just think this is one of those things that you put on your mental resume that you can always say you did. It's like playing in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just one of those...
Put Oscar's head up in your rec room. It's on the wall next to the white tiger and the hippo.
I just hope you're enjoying it and letting it all seep in, John. I really do.
I have never enjoyed anything more.
Really?
No.
It's got to be
no, Matt, it's been a lot of fun. It's been slightly surreal, but for the most part, like I say, we're just having fun sitting in a room, jamming out the jokes, and hopefully that night will be a good time.
And an interesting, bold, I know we're running long here, but I have so many thoughts on this. It's a very bold choice by the Academy to go with the hipster John Stewart, the comedian's comedian. I'm curious, how did that come about? Is there other people they passed over? Did you hear anything about that?
I'm assuming so. I'm assuming that it was the opposite of as you would say, Passover. I was the only door that didn't have the lamb's blood on it. Basically, they just came to me and went, all right, I think we got a firstborn.
And, John, when are you going to start spending some money? James Baby Doll Dixon says you're driving around a stripped Jeep Cherokee.
Dude, I'm up. That is so not the case.
He says you won't part with a penny.
Volvo SUV. Dude, I got a Volvo SUV with two car seats, not just one, two. And those bitches are plush. I'm talking about the fat car seats. I'm talking about the kid car seats lined with velvet and was not.
James calls me every day and says, and he calls me Baby Doll too, and then I call him Baby Doll back. But he's like, Baby Doll, John won't. He's pinching those pennies.
Not at all, baby. I am throwing. Do you know how many SpongeBobs I have in my apartment right now? And not just the little plastic ones, dude. I got the big ones.
You know how many sponges I have in my family, by the way, speaking of money? I'm just saying, John, you got more money than God now. Part with it. Enjoy yourself. Live.
We've been enjoying ourselves like crazy. And that's what money's for. Money's there to know that you're able to hoard it.
Yeah. Baby Doll said you were this close to squeezing the trigger on the leather package on the Cherokee, but you just bowed out at the last second and went with the velour.
You know, to me, it was more the color scheme was off, so I had to go with the burlap.
I'm just saying, spend and enjoy, John.
I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I'll have you build me something.
I will definitely build you something, and I'd love to hook up with you and your beautiful wife next time
I'm in New York. Don't make it sound like that.
You know
don't
what
make
I mean.
It sound like a key party.
Oh, his wife makes bikinis. The last time I was at your house. Yes, she made bikinis. She was explaining to me that she made bikinis, and I was very intrigued.
Yeah, she knows how to make them.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
No, I like her very much.
All right. We will. Thank you, John. Good luck to you. Not that
Thanks,
you need
Adam.
It.
Good talking.
Make
Have
the stars shine.
That's right. Right. That's right. Steam those canisius. John Stewart hosting the 78th Annual Academy Awards. Sunday nights or night. Well, it's every Sunday, every year. ABC, 5 o'clock. Also, he's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel's special post Academy Awards show Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. Speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman coming up after this.
Yo, this is David Alan Greer. Call Mr. Adam now at 1-866-901-ADAM. That's ADAM, as in motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman coming up in a few. But first, it's time. Hmm? You just saw her?
I just saw her.
Oh, she's here. Very exciting. Beautiful. flawless.
Never seen a blemish on her skin.
Her skin is actually fantastic.
No makeup and beautiful skin.
And she has fantastic oral hygiene.
Oh, believe me, her her sonic hygiene, you know, is the best. She likes to take water picks and spray them in people's ears. She found a piece of wax in my ear once and almost killed me trying to get the wax out of my ear. She's obsessed with earwax and has actually bought devices that you need a medical license to obtain and then sprays them in everyone's ear.
I've never seen her celebrate something more than when she pulled out a half-inch chunk of gold from one of the writer's ears at the Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
Celebrated for a week, maybe a fortnight even.
There's something very satisfying about removing things. When you were talking about a blackhead that your dad had once when I met Sarah, and I think we have a bidding war to see who can extract it.
I know. I'm always caught in that sort of crossroads when it comes to anyone in my family or actually anyone over 65, where there's a part, like my grandpa used to have huge blackheads on that big beak of his, and now my dad has a couple on his forehead and stuff, and there's a part of me that wants to say something, and then a part of me, it's like, yeah, well, by the way, what, are you not going to get laid? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? You got a photo spread set up? You going to do a shoot, fashion shoot tonight, or then where off to Oscar party, or how's this? Nah, screw it. Have that big saucer-sized blackhead. I'm going to move on with my life. But, yes, I love that. I wish there was a part of my body, just a little patch that was set aside for blackheads, carbuncles, fistulas, and boils that I could just go at.
You know what you should do? I'll tell you what you do. You start waxing, and then...
Oh, really?
Wax a part of your body.
All right.
And then shave it.
Mm-hmm.
And then let the stuff try to grow in. You'll get ingrown hairs.
Oh.
And nothing funner.
Well, think about this. What kind of plan did God have? Here's the two places you get the acne. You get it on your face, which is a disaster, obviously, because when you start squeezing and prodding and going at it, then you just walk around like a cyclops. And then the other place you get it is on your back where you can't get to it.
It's no fun for yourself. That's all fun for the other person.
Right. Why didn't God give you this stuff on your thigh or something so you could sit down and really, you know, take a soldering iron to it, and then you just put some sweatpants on and go about your day? Think about it. There's two places you get zits. So one place you can't get to it. The other place, if you do get to it, everyone's going to know about it.
God must do that so we will socialize. Because if you didn't socialize, you would never get rid of those zits on your back.
It's a good point. Yeah, it gets us to interact.
Yes. And
Kalani?
Yes, hi.
You're from Portland?
Yes, I am.
And your name is Kalani?
Yes.
Wow. I would start making fun of you and calling you Kalanic almost immediately.
Yeah, thank you. It's Hawaiian.
Oh, okay. It means flushing out the bowels in Hawaii?
Pretty close. It means heaven.
Oh, nice. Well, I guess that is a form of heaven. So you want to come see us in Vegas?
I would like to, yes.
All right. Well, you're formally invited.
Okay.
March 9th.
Why don't you see if you can... wonder if Kalani's any good at ass kissing.
Kalani, can you do any ass kissing?
I can try.
You want to play
I'm
a little?
Pretty good. Sure, let's play.
Play a little ass kiss rodeo?
It's ass kiss rodeo!
I got some twins coming. I really think that's the way to go. Have them both at the same time, yeah?
Oh, twins are the best. They're just the best, especially blondes.
No, I don't like the Aryan theme.
No, there's no idea, because there's 0% chance that your children, Adam, will be blonde.
That's right. It's a good point. My wife has dark hair.
Hey, Michael Jackson's children are blonde.
That's true.
Are you any different?
Well,
what makes you think you're any different than Michael Jackson?
I actually asked my wife. I think that's the difference. I think that's a small difference between me and Michael Jackson.
Just a small one.
All right. Hey, Kalani?
Yes.
We'll look forward to seeing you out there, but not participating for the coveted Ass Kiss Rodeo belt buckle.
All right, I'll keep working on it.
Please do, and we'll see you out there on the 9th. All right, now it is time for young Rachel Perry and her news.
President Bush been traveling all over the world. He was in Afghanistan, then he went to India, made a big deal with the Prime Minister of India. He wanted to share our nuclear know-how and fuel with the country, and the Prime Minister was very thankful, and we have a tape of him thanking Bush.
Thank you for coming. I'll see you in hell.
It was a weird exchange. I don't know exactly.
Well, it's a different culture. We can't judge.
Yeah, and then the shot. I don't know. It didn't...
It could have been a backfire.
Well, it could have been a backfire. It could have been Bush shooting at him, him shooting at Bush.
No, maybe it was Cheney just returning some fire.
As far as I know, it was friendly fire.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
By the way, is there really such a thing as friendly fire? What happened to your son over there in Iraq? Got his head blown off by friendly fire? Oh, okay. That's nice. It's like sending a Vermont teddy bear, except for your head comes off. Yeah. Friendly fire. Casualty. Not a great word either for what we actually happened.
No, indeed.
Friendly fire casualty. And casualty. Yeah. Oh, some casualties with some friendly fire. I'll bring the potato salad. It'll be great.
huge uproar going on about this videotape that was released of a video conference that happened with the president. Mm-hmm. Former FEMA director Michael Brown was there, and a bunch of other people. It was, you know, released to the press, and it basically shows that Bush had knowledge of...
And Kid Rock was in there, too, right? Or is that another story?
Well, this is the one tape that Bush didn't want... Yeah, there's another tape that Bush doesn't want released.
I got a little taste of that for you right here.
My gut was that this is a bad one and a big one.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levies will be topped or not, but that's obviously a very, very great concern.
That was Brown and a fellow named Max Mayfield, who both were prepping the president. The day before Katrina, interesting then that Bush said after the fact, we weren't prepped about this. We got bad information.
Yeah. That's a liar.
That's
what
okay.
You got to do. Surprise, surprise, politicians lying.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything. Gary Glitter's child molestation trial starts today in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of the jurors. I got to fly out right after the show.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. Well, in Vietnam.
That dual citizenship thing you have with Vietnam screwed you.
Yeah.
I thought you said you'd never go back to the NAM.
After my three tours.
Oh, three.
Three tours. I said I'd never go back in country, but I'm going back. Left a lot of good men behind.
Takes a lot of courage. A lot of guts.
Hernandez, DiGiacomo, and a pedophile. Come on, buddy. We're going home. Molest kids.
What's up with it? Didn't he, get arrested for this, about 8 or 10 years ago in England?
Yes.
It's just brutal.
Well, there's a whole trade over there. And again, we can't judge. If you want to sell your 9-year-olds into sexual slavery, that's your business. It's a cultural thing. There's no good or bad, as I've learned from the left elite in this country. We cannot judge about other countries' cultures. But they do this in these very impoverished countries. They sell their kids. And tourists, there's a whole sexual tourism thing. Obviously, you can't buy a 9-year-old in Alabama or in London, but you get on a plane, you go to Vietnam, and there you go.
No, you can't, though. Actually, I was watching TV. I heard that it was a crime for an American to go to another country for the purposes of...
Having sex with children. It absolutely is, but they think they can get away with it. Here... There's no shot of you getting away with it. There, millions of businessmen do it, and they get away with it. Glitter just got popped.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
You know
you're
why?
Not going to get
got
away.
Sloppy.
I'm not going to let you get away with one other crime, and that's judging, sir.
Yeah, you're right. Pedophile. Can't judge. How are you going to find a jury of your peers? By the way, you're a British rock anthem star
in Vietnam,
and you're going to Vietnam. There's a bunch of guys working rice paddies, and clean up dung for a living are going to be sitting in the juror's box. I'm not sure how the system goes, but I'm not sure if he's going to find his peers over there.
British rock and roll pedophiles, a jury of your peers. Where do you find that? You know where you find it? Pedophile.
Pedophile. Good point. Nice callback.
That movie's getting better and better all the time.
You're warming up on it, aren't you?
Yeah. National Enquirer says that they have pictures of Clay Aiken stripping on a webcam from a website called manhunt.net. I can't confirm that it is him, but looks close.
Yeah, what they do is they show a big picture of his face. Hey, that's Clay Aiken. And then they show a picture of a guy's abdomen with his shirt off.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to do the math. Oh, that must be his abdomen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He may be gay.
Jessica Alba is threatening to sue Playboy for putting her on the cover. They put her on the cover. Everybody's sort of feeling deceived that she's not naked in the magazine.
Yes.
And she says that they didn't have permission to even put her on the cover. So
I'm thinking about suing them as well.
Well,
they put hot chicks on the cover, and then you get the magazine. It's not in there.
And she's not naked.
Yeah. Well, forget about her lawsuit. What about the Ace Man versus Playboy? And then I'm also including all sorts of, I'm doing this whole thing where I'm suing everyone.
Is this going to be a class action suit?
Yes. I'm suing the manufacturers of Kleenex.
We're all going to get $2 out of this. I'm going to get an email telling me I have $2 because you sued Playboy.
You'll get it in the mail. Yeah. Well, if you were affected adversely by it.
The first ever rap performance is going to be happening at the Oscars for a song nominated from the movie Hustle and Flow. It's called It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. And it's got all sorts of swear words in it. But they're going to have to cut some of those out. We've received, you know, the version that they're going to use in the show.
Okay.
It's catchy.
Yeah, I said clean it up so it could be presentable.
I like it.
We should just get, like, Shania Twain to perform it and piss off all the Schwartzes.
And quickly, I just want to talk about Idol.
All right.
Can I talk about Idol?
Talk
Did
about
you see
it.
Idol? There's too much good television on. Deal or No Deal, lost Idol.
Yeah.
I chose Idol last night. And I don't know. I love Taylor. Elliot's... Have you seen Elliot?
Chicken Little guy?
No, that's Kevin.
Mm.
Elliot's the guy that's got the weird... He looks like a Mennonite. With mm-hmm. the big ears or something,
oh,
with the
yes.
weird beard.
Yes, it's like a brother Hezekiah to the barn.
And he's a fantastic...
Post-haste, we're making buttermilk, and then we're raising a barn.
Fantastic singer, I
yes.
love this guy.
He's good, but what a... That facial hair. Listen, guys, with those crazy beards with no mustache or squiggly pork chops, knock it off, would you?
No, you know what, though?
I don't like
what
it.
What I didn't like is at the end of his performance, then Randy Jackson does his thievery... called the dog pound that he stole from Arsenio Hall. I wanted to steal it as well. Brusca refused to get me a dog pound. All I got me was this dumb fish tank, but I make it work anyway. How say you, fish tank? Thank you. They got my back, dog.
Yeah.
Fishies.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mennonite. Yeah, he did steal the show.
Yeah, he was great last night.
Yes,
Taylor, Taylor's getting a little weird for me. Taylor's the gray salt and pepper hair
mm-hmm.
guy. I still love him, but he's got that same thing that's going on. But I still love him.
He did a good job, but I think they're falling out of love with him.
Yeah.
He's on his way out. Yeah, you can tell that.
Maybe.
Sway, the guy that looks like a Filipino Cuba Gooding Jr.
He looks like Odd Job from the James Bond movie.
He didn't do the best job, but I still really like that guy.
Yeah. I thought they were hard on him. I think he did a pretty good job, and they were kind of rough on him.
Yeah, he was. I like him. You know who else is growing on me? The young black kid Gideon.
Yeah.
With the big crazy big smile, like he's so cheesy and he was annoying, but I really like him. Like I think his singing's fantastic.
Yeah, he did a Sam Cooke song. I can't believe that kid is. He's 17. He's got a mustache. I mean, here's the whole thing. He's 17. Someone could say he's 31, and I would have been. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. See, Whitey doesn't have that kind of range.
No, and the older they get, too. Black don't crack. You never know.
No,
you never know.
You never know. The guy's 17. I would sell him a keg if he came to my house.
Well, I'm just going to tell you.
I didn't know you had that side business working.
I do. I move a bulk, a wholesale
beer
liquor
distributor.
But, well, in bulk, you can't buy a sixer over at the Corolla House. But if you want to move a keg, yeah, sure, we can talk.
Yeah.
And the two that I choose to go, David, the Harry Connick guy, and of course Ace. I'm voting them out anyway.
Yeah.
I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Sarah Silverman awaits.
Mm.
I will make my words brief.
Please.
Trouble in the NFL. They're having trouble working out the new collective bargaining agreement. No idea what that means. I was never good at math. I'm not sure what this means financially, but I do know it means that a bunch of big-name players are about to be released, they say. Guys like the Jets QB, Chad Pennington, may be kicked to the curb as soon as this afternoon. We'll see what happens. I don't understand. And I did well with the Wonderlic test. In fact, I was perfect. So if I don't understand it, the likes of you... And Fat Tad out there.
Mortals. Yeah, Dave did the most obnoxious thing in the world, which is when we took the Wonderlic test yesterday. We had 2 minutes to take it. Rachel and I, who read collectively at a fifth grade level, were struggling hard with it. Dave finished 60 seconds into it and did the most obnoxious thing you can do, which is threw his hands up and announced he was done. Done!
I know. I was ashamed of my behavior.
And then he kept talking.
Then he summoned his fish tank. How's the fish tank? And they all were going nuts. And then he stormed out of the room and yelled, "I'd be surprised if I missed one."
No.
I like it.
No surprise came that
Listen,
they did it.
If you can back it up, it ain't bragging. You're a showman when it comes to tests that are administered on paper.
I hope the NFL is listening. I'm ready to go.
A 50 scored.
My window of opportunity is closing fast. Have me now, if you will, NFL. Now, you know, have you been noticing, by the way, all the stories lately this past week about this autistic kid? Inspirational story.
Sure.
Scored 20 points in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
People, you know, the tear ducts opening up, you know, waterfalls, the waterworks working on everybody. I got to say, good for him, but it makes me feel bad about me when I see this happen.
Yeah.
I never scored 20 points in a game. It's one thing when Kobe Bryant scores, 58 points in a game. Listen, he's 6'7",
Right.
He's got more athletic. He's faster. He can jump, over the backboard.
Right.
There's a reason why he's better than I am. This just makes me feel low. Please,
I know.
Can we stop talking about this story?
They're making a movie.
I heard your mom called in and yelled at him.
Thank you, Mo Damashek.
Shouldn't like
one
you.
Person who has my back.
Didn't like you being shamed. Hold on a second, Adam.
Yeah.
You say that dog means fish in Hebrew?
Yep, that is.
Wow.
With a dalet, a little osprey, and then you got a gimel. Bam, dog equals fish. So
I heard that.
Maybe Brusca just thought he was speaking a little too speak.
Yeah, Brusca, the Italian Jew from Long Island.
That happens sometimes.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that.
Jew speak, he says. All right, humiliating loss last night for Kobe and his chums up in Portland. Trailblazers, garbage team. They dumped the Lakers. Had enough to beat them. Brighter news, though. Suns have won 8 in a row after last night's victory. Golden State won, as were the Kings of Schwarzenegger winners. Meantime, L.A.'s favorite team, the Clips, they kept on rolling. They won going away, and they wore their black and orange uniforms that the franchise wore when they were a team in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So, this reminds me now. I went out and talked to the Clippers the other day to ask them what they know about their history, about their team. They've turned the corner. It looks like they're going to make the playoffs. I went out there and asked a couple of them if they, in fact, know what a Clipper is. As you mentioned earlier today, Ace, because you're a bright fella, not bright enough to
be
perfect
to
on the Wonderlic.
Wonderlic test.
Still, you know that a Clipper is a boat.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and asked some of the ball players if they knew. Here you go.
I'm Sean Livingston. I'm point guard from the Los Angeles Clippers, and I came from Peoria High School in Illinois.
All right. Let's start out with an easy one. What is a Clipper?
Wow. I don't know. That's something that I'm still trying to figure out. Everybody, says the barbershop, but I know it's not that, so wrong one to ask.
Nautical theme. Yeah. Started out in San Diego. Why don't you go ahead and just take a guess?
No. I wasn't born.
Walt McCarty, power forward, University of Kentucky.
All right, start out with an easy one. You're an L.A. Clipper. What is a Clipper?
I have no idea.
San Diego, nautical theme. They're by the ocean. Don't worry, I won't tell your coach or anything.
I have no idea.
All right.
Daniel Ewing, guard, Duke University.
All right, let's start out with what should be an easy one here. You're an L.A. Clipper. What is a Clipper?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. I'm not actually sure what a Clipper is.
Well, it's the team. The team name came from San Diego, nautical theme. Does that give you a clue?
You gotta better explain nautical too. Nautical.
Well,
I think that's a venereal disease.
That's 0-3. Chris Kamen, though, comes
Chris
to the Kamen, rescue.
Central Michigan University, center.
You're an L.A. Clipper. What is a Clipper?
A ship.
Wow.
Very nice. Very nice. Well done. You're the first one. You're the first one to get that right.
Sasquatch nails it.
Yeah. There you go. So he got that right. But then I thought, am I being unfair? Some of these other tricky names, I talked to Joe Montanez, a couple weeks ago. I asked him, does he know what a 49er is? Mm-hmm. Joe Montana, what is a 49er?
It was a
guy looking, basically going in search of gold in that year.
Yes, in 1849, yes. And then I threw him a little curveball. What is a clipper? Do you know, Joe?
It's a ship, isn't it?
Correct. That's amazing. The Clippers themselves don't know the answer to that, but Joe Montana does. Let me say this.
Wow.
So let's review the math. 25% of all Clippers spoken to know what a Clipper is. 100% of San Francisco 49ers I spoke to know what a Clipper is.
Wow.
Interesting.
Hard hitting.
Thank you.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right. We're going to take a break. A lot of folks do the I wasn't born yet excuse, like, well, you've heard of President Lincoln, have you? I wasn't born. Well, you know about the show All in the Family, right? I'm 19. Like, okay, but it's okay. You can know stuff that happened before you're born. You know, the Hindenburg blew up. There's something called World War II. You get to know about these things. I know one of the guys used that. Sarah Silverman.
Ooh,
beautiful. Beautiful skin, Sarah Silverman. Maybe she'll check my ears. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Remember, he loves you too.
Yeah. Sarah Silverman in studio. Funny, sweet, no pores.
Oh.
Flawless skin.
Oh.
Awesome skin. How do you do it?
Look at your skin.
How do you do it?
But I'm jealous of your skin.
You have porcelain cream skin.
So do you.
Well, you know, I was fishing a little bit.
Wow.
You also do.
You guys, what about Brusca?
Brusca's got a nice, it's dewy.
Hold on. Dameshek, these guys, this close to diking off, and you got to work Brusca into the weave.
You're right.
Panty sliding down the legs. What about Brusca? Nice save.
Well, my fantasy includes Brusca and the two ladies.
I guess it does.
Sarah is going to be hosting the Independent Spirit Award, which is going to be on the Independent Film Channel this Saturday at 2 o'clock live and then rebroadcast at 10 o'clock, I guess, that evening on AMC. Yes?
That's correct.
We're looking forward to it. Where is the actual awards? Where's it taking place?
It's like in a huge tent on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's kind of beautiful, and it's actually right where, it's like right outside where Dameshek got married.
You should wear a wedding dress and no shoes. That's what you should wear.
Idea.
I got to say, we went to a wedding, Sarah and I and Jimmy and a few other folks went to a friend of ours' wedding on the beach about 2 months, 3 months ago, and it was one of those wear khaki pants and a white blouse and don't wear shoes, and oh, Christ, I don't want to deal with this. It was delightful. It turned out to be really nice.
That's exactly how we were like, oh, and it was.
Yeah,
the makings of us. I'm sorry,
didn't even finish the sentence.
It was so
like
fun.
A little residual Kimmel from last night.
Oh, believe me,
I know how he leans. I know what he likes. I know. We've traveled.
How do you
many.
Know?
We've traveled many times
wedding.
Together.
It was so fun. At the end, there's a fire. We're all sitting around. People are playing guitar.
Yeah,
it's great. The vows. I think the vows were kind of funny because our male friend,
Doug. Yes,
Doug was. Oh, it was so sweet. You know, they wrote their own vows. So he goes first, and he's like, you know, just saying the most beautiful things about her. These, like, all these observations about her and all these things. And at the end, he's choked up and he does one of those, like, so Alejandra, you know, I ask you, what do you do in the rest of your life? Will you spend it with me?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I wish I did that slower because now the music's finally here. But yeah. But then
her saying yes and me and Kimmel vomiting in the background were the only sounds you could hear.
So he does one of those, and then it's her turn, and she's like, "Doug, you are responsible. I can count on you."
She sounds like Drago from Rocky IV.
No,
you come from sturdy stock.
Yeah, she realigned my chakras once, and I fell asleep. I think she got mad.
You're supposed to fall asleep, I think. It's very spiritual.
Speaking of being realigned, Sarah's that we're talking about sort of obsessed with cleanliness. She's like a spider monkey. I mean, you'll just let her go on you. She's like a little Jewish Zamboni Berg.
Oh, my God.
You let her
God,
go,
I love
and
it.
She crawls all over your head, and she'll pick out, delouse you, and check you for ringworm and stuff. And she went at my ear. Now, my right ear is clean because I drive and my wife picks it. while I drive.
Right.
In order to get the left one out, I guess we'd have to move to England. But I drive, and she picks at my right ear while I drive, which is perfectly safe, me closing my eyes and wincing and buckling toward the,
what
toward the
right. What, does she use a finger?
Yeah, she uses her finger, sometimes a pen or something like that. But the left one...
out of control.
Out of control,
it's
because she can't get to it.
Become part of the ear. It's like a, what's the rock that's layers and layers and layers?
Sedimentary?
Sedimentary.
She went at it with a water pick in Kimmel's bathroom some years back, and to no avail. Could not pull the sword
from the
rock.
Well, wait a minute. I got some gold out of Breska's ear, I think, didn't I?
Yeah. It's
oh, no, Shrift Dam.
Just wondering what happened to his brain.
Shrift Dam, sorry, though.
My ears are clean.
I'm sure you're
wrong midget.
It doesn't mean that you're dirty if you've got stuff in your ears. Personally, I don't have anything, and maybe that's why I've developed this passion
what
for
else?
Others.
What else are you obsessed with?
I just want to know if you, does it get to the point where you're like looking at Jimmy and you find a spot and you're staring? Like you can't think about anything else until you get rid of the things?
There's
like a zit or blackhead or a...
No, yeah, his ears like mine. Don't get too much, and that's why we both share this obsession.
Oh.
But while he's brushing, well, I might get punished.
Go ahead.
This.
Go ahead.
While he's brushing his teeth, washing his face, whatever, mm-hmm. I get behind him because he's got his shirt off, and I go to town on his back.
Yeah, if you can get through that thick pile of carpet, you can find a blackhead or two.
Oh my God! It is that carpet that mm-hmm. gives us that blackhead or two, that ingrown hair. That,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so many seeds.
Yeah, but Jimmy's into cleanliness as you are,
yes,
right? I mean,
yes.
He's kind of fastidious with that.
You know what he does
stuff?
When he gets out of the shower? He does the both Q-tips at the same time, which I feel like is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I get nervous when I see it.
Yeah, it's like he put his head on a spit. That's what
yes.
it looks like. He's like, he does that. Eventually, his feet are going to fly up and he's going to turn over one day if he does it hard enough. Or I'm just waiting for him to pull one through and do it and have it. Ba-da-da. Yeah, he's very clean. Although, I'll tell you, the kid's got range. I will tell you that because one time when I was traveling with Jimmy, we were staying at a motel in the Seattle area. We were sharing the same bathroom, and the tub was clogged up, and he had to take a shower before me. So when I got in there, the water was up to my shins. And after I got in there and began my shower, he'd explain to me that he'd pleasured himself into that tub. I'm just saying most guys don't have that kind of range. That's all I'm saying. Most
Wait
guys
a minute. I thought it was the other way around.
Oh, are you what? Me doing it to him?
I thought it was the other way around, and it's like,
no,
yeah.
no, it went this way, sadly. Talk to my shins.
When
they'll back me
when
up.
When you say it went down the drain, mm-hmm. he pleasured himself and it went down.
How dare you? I think that may have got bleeped out. All right, we will take ourselves a quick break. I know. This is not the Independent Spirit Awards, evidently.
No, I can swear on those. Not that I'm a swearer, but I can say, you know, anus.
We don't have the allegiance to art that they do. That's the Independent Film Channel live on Saturday, 2 o'clock, and then rebroadcast on AMC at 10 o'clock. Take a quick break. Be back with more Sarah Silverman after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Sarah Silverman in studio. She's checking Rachel Perry's ear as we speak.
It feels so good.
Sarah's going to host the 2006 Independent Spirit Awards, which is going to be on the Independent Film Channel, Saturday, 2 o'clock, live this Saturday.
It's going to be crazy, you guys.
Amen.
Crazy.
It's going to be a party. Party on the sand. And then the rebroadcast at 10 o'clock on AMC. Just a little time left. Sarah, how about we've been doing this, putting people on the spot. You rate the guys in the studio here.
Oh.
Damashek was incensed.
You could rate Rachel as well, actually.
Damashek beside himself that Breska scored higher than him a time or two.
I remember.
That's ridiculous.
Rachel
put me above him as well as Sophie Monk. A very nice looking
I don't
obviously
like
people
this.
Being
I don't like doing this.
No hard
nobody
feelings.
Nobody likes doing it.
No hard feelings.
There just, will be hard feelings.
Dave would like you to separate his matinee idol good looks from his horrible personality, and I say it can't be done. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It bleeds through.
I love Dave's personality. I love both.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, if you could, give us a quick rundown.
He's got like a... Oh, my God. You've got a little bit of a Eric Bana
Ooh. Bana. Eric Bana.
He's
Eric
a matinee Bana. Idol, is right.
Yeah.
Hunky, too.
People, girls walk out of Munich, they go, it's terrible what happened, but...
Eric Bana, yeah.
Holy crap, that Eric Bana.
Eric Bana meets an unattractive guy with a bald spot. You have that on, yeah. Well, look, I'm the ugly Pete Sampras, according to Kimmel. Again, does he have to put ugly in front of Pete Sampras? You're going to say you look like Pete Sampras?
No.
Is he going to offend Pete Sampras? Really, I would argue. Can you say ugly and then say you look like
this person? I'd like to defend Jimmy there.
It's horrible form.
Because
yes,
Pete Sampras has looked on... as being a very handsome man. So to be the ugly Pete Sampras, you're still pretty handsome.
I'm just saying, is it important to really focus and hit the word ugly as hard as he does each time he says Pete Sampras? And Pete Sampras, an attractive man, but you don't say, oh, well, he's no Brad Pitt or Pete Sampras. He's not even thrown in that, up in that league.
Hey, all right, Ace, quickly. Please, let's get back to Sarah
to
talking
let's
about how I'm
quickly.
Like a matinee idol.
Include Kimmel into this
with,
mix.
You can start with Ted.
Don't
get the easy one out of the way.
Don't drive her. Go ahead, Sarah.
Ted's got a delicious... He's lost so much weight, and he's got a great attitude about it. Still... probably... What are we going, bottom to top?
Yeah, start at the bottom.
Oh my god, it's like, does August count?
Slim pickings. Yes.
All right, let's go.
Booker late. August.
I would go... Tad might be first.
All right. August
first,
second.
Number one.
August number two.
August.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Lynch.
Lynch. 30 seconds. We got to wrap it
Bresca.
Up.
Bresca.
Bresca.
Oh.
Smart.
Come on.
Smart.
Adam Damaschek.
Wow. Oh, Damaschek.
Finally.
Finally
someone has the guts to tell the truth.
Yeah, but I was number one.
Oh, okay.
Sarah, and you are the loveliest of all the comedians.
Thank you. Oh my God! Obviously, Jimmy's number one.
Oh
number
yeah.
One.
Now you've lied again.
Yes.
No, I haven't. He
lies.
Is the cutest.
Move over, Lisa Lampanelli. Sarah Silverman, number one.
She
comedian.
Is funny, that Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, no, I mean men or women.
Men
Sarah
or women.
Sarah Silverman,
beautiful.
Number one.
All right, we need to take an extended break.
Am I leaving?
No. I mean, yes, but we all are. I want to thank Sarah Silverman for coming in. 2006 Independent Spirit Awards, Saturday.
It's all the same stars as the Oscars, by the way, if you're into that.
Plus a few A-listers. Roy Horn for calling in on the men. Jon Stewart speaking on the Oscars. That'll be at 5 o'clock on ABC on Sunday. Robert Wall, he's going to be at the Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach tonight. Peter Goober, Sunday Morning Shootout. Sundays, 11 o'clock on AMC. Lemmy from Motorhead, the band Van Stone, and the great aforementioned Jimmy Kimmel in here tomorrow.
Hey,
wow. Yes.
Can I say mahalo with you?
Yes. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo!